Yeah, good evening, Mayor DeVilvis and Assembly members. I just wanted to report tonight, last week we had our budget presentations, so we had four public presentations. Those were conducted by Chief Business Officer Luke Volpe. So we made those available at four sites, Birch Tree Charter School, Sioux Valley High School, our district office, and then also Kinnick Elementary. Also, I just wanted to remind folks that this is School Board Recognition Month, and just to remind our community that our district and its stakeholders appreciate the service provided by our board members. Also, next week, we will host a community and school safety meeting. So we've contacted all of our agencies through Houston, Wasilla, and Palmer, and then also our borough. That will be on February 27th from 12 o'clock to 2 o'clock. And of course, if assembly members or any other officials would like to come to that, contact our office, Jennifer Dahlquist, Dr. Paramo's assistant, administrative assistant, will RSVP you. And basically, we just want to demonstrate everything that we do within context of safety and also get input from the community so that we're not overlooking things that might be of benefit to the district and the safety of our students. Also, Dr. Paramo, she'll be visiting Washington, D.C. next week. She will have appointments with Senator Murkowski, Senator Begich, and Congressman Young. She will also be accompanied by an executive from National Math Science Initiative, Jared Bruckner, and we're working closely with National Math Science Initiative on a plan where that would feature the Matsu Borough School District as the hub for providing the professional development for this is a nationally recognized program. It also comes with great financial support from Exxon and British Petroleum. And so anyway, we're looking for support at federal level for that. And then also at the state level, our district, we're working with our state legislature to continue to support some of our key initiatives that we had funded last year. Our cyber centers, online learning, our Air Force Junior ROTC program that has 140 students participating at Wasilla High School, our Alaska Middle College, and also our STEM program. So anyway, but yeah, a lot going on in the district. And again, just, you know, thanks for all your help.
Thank you. We'll be looking for that budget. Did Palmer want a second shot? Your manager gave us a report already, but can't turn down the mayor.
Thank you. I just wanted to just give a little bit of an update on the I was in Juneau last week with AML, but that it looks good, I think, for the city of Palmer and the borough to be working together on the water line that in the Bogart extension, which actually was the borough mayor's idea, first discussion. So I'm pretty hopeful that that will be funded for the city of Palmer and that we'll be working together on that. So anyway, I don't know. Of course, we never know until we see the final budget, but it looks good. So thanks.
We're going to have a problem if you get a sewer line and we don't get a road. I don't think we had a joint school assembly meeting this session, did we? Is there anything else to report under assembly relations? Okay, Mr. Manager.
Good evening. First, I'd like to have Mr. Joe Perkins come and give you a brief update on our road construction projects. And also, too, just a quick overview of a rail situation as well.
Uh, I'm Joe Perkins, consultant to the borough on these projects. Mr. Mayor and the Assembly, it's a pleasure to be here. What I'd like to do today is to quickly go through the projects that are in the bond issue and the other special projects and give you an idea of where they are. I know a lot more about them now than I did when I made the presentation before. And I'd like to start out with the first contract that we're probably going to do, which is paving Caswell Lake, Hawk Lane, and Willow Lake Drive. The progress that we've made on that is we have two engineer firms on board designing those projects now. And I would like to get those under construction this summer. It's all going to depend on how fast the engineers can go, but we're going to use a very simplified design because the main thing is to get the roads paved. These aren't the Parks Highway. They are roads that we need to go ahead and upgrade and pave. Makatanz Elementary School project, we have two problems on that project. The traffic circle, which is up next to the Parks Highway, we still need three pieces of right-of-way. And the right-of-way is being procured. Some offers have been made, but as normal in right-of-way, I can't really tell you when that's going to get settled. The second portion of that road is the railroad overpass, which we thought we could do. However, now we found that we probably have some wetlands there. And so we're going to have to go for a Corps of Engineer permit. And when we get that permit, we'll be able to, as a minimum, put the fill in. There's about a 40 or 50 foot fill that goes into that overpass on either end, and we'll be able to do that. So whichever one comes through first, the right-of-way for the portion that's up by the parks or the permit from the Corps, we're going to try to do this summer. Sullivan, Caudill, and the Old Glen Parkway, we will build that bridge, and I've forgotten the name of the little creek there, but
Bodenberg?
There. We will build that bridge this summer, and we should be going out probably in late March or the 1st of April with a contract to build the bridge. The rest of that project is a pathway. And then, of course, the road paving around Sullivan and Caudill. We have a RFP on the street for an engineer to do the design of those projects. And we should be getting the proposals in within a week or so, and we'll have a selection made and be back to the Assembly for that. So, of that, we will spend the bridge money. The RFP for the engineer is on the street, and dependent again on how fast they can work is how much we'll get done as far as construction this summer. But we're gonna try to get as much as we possibly can. The Sutton Paved Pathway, which is a little pathway from the school to basically was to the Glen Highway, we have coordinated with the Chickaloon Tribe. And they have a project to build a pathway all along the Glen Highway. And so what we've agreed to is not only will they build it along the Glen Highway, but they'll build it on up to very close to the library. So what we're going to build is from the library to the school. We don't have a right-of-way problem. The borough owns the property. Engineer is being selected, and we will have that project under construction this summer. The Mac Clapp Road in Wasilla. Wasilla is doing the design. I met with them today. The design is practically done. However, they've got 35 parcels, or around 35 parcels, of right-of-way they got to procure. They have offers in on the vast majority of that. They think with any kind of luck, maybe that project would be ready to put out to bid this fall. If they can, again, we're depending on right-of-way. The Big Lake intersection, which I mentioned, both those intersection projects really belong to DOT. We met with the maintenance folks from the borough, and they said that that there was some work that could be done on drainage on some borough property there that needs to be done. So we basically are going to turn that project over to the maintenance folks, borough maintenance folks. They're going to develop the project, and we're going to do something at the intersection. And the one I'm talking about is the one where Hollywood takes off to the left there. And we'll do something there. The other intersection, which I think the folks thought we were going to get a traffic circle, I don't know how we can do anything because DOT has no interest in us or them working on any of those intersections, and that is a DOT road. So we'll have to play this out and see how much we can do on the with the drainage. And again, the maintenance folks are doing that. Knick River Road, we need to pave, have a project for paving the last mile of it. We've met with the with DOT, and we have put a design RFP on the street. We're going to have somebody come up with a contract. And DOT has treated us very fairly in that we can use an approach road permit, which is a very simple thing to get compared to a memorandum of understanding, which they require in a lot of things. There is no reason that project cannot proceed this next summer. So hopefully we can get that done, and that's going to help the folks over there. The Bogard extension, we're working hard on it. What we're doing is actually identifying the phases. And I told you we were going to go with two phases. The phase that we will go for first is looks like it's going to be the phase that is the from the Palmer School on toward the Glen. And we'll go ahead and get that out. And the way we're going, I don't see that cannot be put out this summer for a bid. The next one, Mockin Drive. We have waited for the last at least 2 years for one piece of right-of-way. And we now, I think we've condemned the right-of-way, and we're going through the condemnation procedure. And we are ready to put that on the street as soon as that one piece of right-of-way is squared away. And hopefully it can be done fairly quickly. South Big Lake Road realignment, we've received the engineering proposals. We'll grade them. We'll be back to the assembly probably next meeting for an approval of the selected designer. We have run into one problem, which the borough manager is going to help us solve, in that DOT is saying that we should be having and buying enough right-of-way to support a four-lane highway there. And we don't necessarily agree with that. We don't need right-of-way for a four-lane highway, and I don't think they do either. But anyway, the manager is going to be meeting probably with the commissioner DOT and see if we can't change these folks' minds as to what. The way they've stopped us is they have written a letter to Department of Natural Resources objecting to a land transfer, or objecting to us having the right to go in there. And so DNR is holding it in abeyance because of DOT's objection. But we will get that settled, and I am hopeful that we'll be able to bid out South Big Lake Road this next summer. There are still three projects that will not, that we're hiring engineers for, and they're bigger projects, and they're going to be a lot tougher to do. The first one is Sheldon Lucille. We've completed the right-of-way study. To give you some idea, we've got 83 feet of right-of-way around Sheldon and about 100 foot on Lucille. Now, it varies. We own a little piece there, but we are going to have a right-of-way problem in doing that. But we do have, we have selected the engineer, and we're under negotiations with the engineer, and that should appear on your agenda, hopefully, next assembly meeting. You will not have any construction on Sheldon Lucille. There's no way we can get that under construction with the right-of-way we're going to have to purchase and so on this summer. It's a next summer's job. Sheldon Road Extension and Beverly Lake Road Upgrade, which is basically the extension of the portion of Sheldon that we've already upgraded. The RFP will be out next week for design, and we will get the design going on that one. On Vine Road, we'll put out the Vine Road RFP, which is, again, a fairly major design job, and that RFP will go out. We're going to wait till Sheldon comes in so that the design firms know who won and lost Sheldon, so they can propose however they want on Vine. That sort of wraps up the what we're doing on these. They're moving, and we've got a lot to do right away as a problem for us on several of these, but we should be able to deliver considerable construction this summer. I was asked last time to provide construction bid dates or award dates or whatever. I want to meet with all the engineering firms before I come up with some of those dates, and some of those dates are going to be estimated dependent on right-of-way and some of that, because I can't really predict right-of-way. But I will, within the next few days, provide the assembly with a date on when of each one of these projects will be built. I'll switch over real quick to the railroad, and as most of you know, we have segment one under construction with Bristol Constructors, and that's a carryover from last year. They have already started working out there. They're going across some of the wetlands with winter construction. The about a month ago, we opened bids for segment six, which is the Y portion up by Houston. And segment six, Granite, was the low bidder. And we have already had our pre-construction meeting, and Granite is getting ready to do the clearing they're going to have to do before the bird window shuts us down. I think it's the 1st of May, I believe it is, when the bird window starts. We were supposed to open bids on segment three, which is the portion from the farmlands on up a ways. And segment three, we had a lot of questions at the last minute about the bid. And so we put the bid off for a week. The bid will open Thursday. And so that means that's the third one we'll have under contract. And then the fourth one that we'll have under contract this year is, as soon as we receive the money for the bond, the state bond sale, we will do segment four. What that's going to leave is segment two and segment five yet to do, which we've talked about. And then segment seven is going and putting a layer of basically D1 material, fine material, over the entire length of the embankment, and that you put in preparation for laying the ties. And then segment eight, of course, is laying the ties, putting on rail and ballast, and we'll be ready to go. Now, there's a lot of little things we need to do. We got a couple of communication towers we're going to have to figure out where they exactly go. We've got signal to do, and quite a bit of other work, but the rail project is going along very, very well. We have not changed the dollar amount that this project will cost since the beginning. I checked the beginning the other day. I started this project in March of 2007, I believe it was. I've been at this project 6 years now, to give you an idea how long it takes to develop a project. But anyway, it is going well. We did win our, block the court order for a TRO. And if you want more information on that, Nick can certainly give you how we stand on that. We're in good shape. No one has. We don't have any stoppage on the rail, and it's moving on. I and the borough, Don Dwyer, did brief the House and Senate Joint Transportation Committee. Briefing went very well. No questions that we couldn't answer. I guess we've probably got the Finance Committee to go yet, but we're ready to give briefings at any time we want to. And I'll take any questions.
Assemblymember yes, Woods.
Yes. The City of Palmer wants to put a water line up along that Bogard Road that you're bringing down to the section you're doing there. Is your engineer working with them to see how that will fit in?
Assemblyman, if we're not, we will. I can't answer it, really. I assume we probably are, but if we're not, I will promise you we will.
Thank you.
It sounds like maybe Public Works.
Yes, we are.
Huh?
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. I just from the person with the knowledge, we are working with them.
Well, thank you very much for your report. Mr. Manager.
Yes, last week, Assemblymember Culligan, Assemblymember Keough, Attorney Spiropoulos, and myself were in D.C. to discuss issues of fish data, our port and transportation funding, and as well as FEMA. And we had a good three solid days. We felt we made some progress, but we did not get any guarantees. There's no guarantees in Washington these days. And Thursday, we will be in Juneau making a fish presentation on returning the fish, or where did the fish go in the valley. And then we have a breakfast meeting with the governor's staff on regulations to make sure that we do not have another lost summer for our lodge owners and for our guides, and also too for ourselves and putting food on the table. So we're working real hard on those issues. And we're really getting a lot of interest. There are three bills right now in the state regarding somewhat directly with this issue. We have a funding request for assistance, but the real important is to get some assistance with the state regulations and management of the fisheries.
Thank you. Mr. Attorney.
So as the Assembly's aware, there was a hearing on the litigation challenging the Corps permit relating to the rail line. We had oral argument on February 7th. On February 11th, the judge issued an order denying the injunction. And today, about an hour ago, I got the notice of appeal to the emergency appeal to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals asking for that to be overturned. So, Joe, we're not out of the woods. So they're asking for an injunction. It's been appealed to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. They're asking for a ruling from the court by the 1st of March, according to the filing. Obviously, the court hasn't issued a briefing schedule yet. I'll keep the Assembly apprised via email of what's going on there. But that's it.
Thank you. Madam Clerk.
The clerk's report is in your red folders. There is a joint meeting scheduled with the school board on March 12th. However, that is during the school district's spring break. The school district has asked that we reschedule that meeting, and I told them I would look for a date in April. So I'd like to suggest to the Assembly Tuesday, April 9th at 6.
Is there any objection to that? Tuesday, April 6th.
So it would change from March 12th to April 9th.
Mr. Manager.
While you're looking, we would like to have another special executive session for the pleasure of picking apart the manager again on April 16th at 4 p.m. I will be in attendance.
Good for you. So I didn't hear any objection to either one of those, Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Assemblymember Culver.
Would it be more helpful to have the joint school board meeting after the legislature's out of session? We know what the budget looks like, or it won't make any difference.
I don't think that we normally plan on being done with our budget, but
I was thinking, what the legislative funding picture looks like before we go into our budget, but. I think we can kind of assume that it'd be status quo coming out of Juneau for this year.
Yeah, I agree, but we've got time constraints too. Have you got that on the top of your head, Mr. Manager? But so we just have to be done by July or June 31st?
May 31st.
May 31st?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, we can certainly look over the school board's budget. Okay. Citizen, other correspondence? And There's no unfinished business. There is a veto, but it was not issued in time to be advertised. So the bad thing about that is that we can't act on it tonight. But the good thing is that people that want to comment about it later on in the meeting can. But Assemblymember Culver.
On procedure, did you veto the whole plan, or did you veto that one amendment regarding firearms?
Madam Clerk, I think Culver, I believe that I had to, my only option was to veto the whole thing, but it was with regard to a suggested amendment.
Okay, through the chair to the attorney. Nick, how would procedurally then, if the mayor wanted to deal with just that amendment, because the code says the mayor may veto any action by the assembly, in essence,
the clerk.
It would have to be done on at the table at the time, not subsequently?
The clerk would like to speak to that.
Should that be something that the assembly wants to do, you would not move to override the mayor's veto, or you do override it, and that keeps the legislation still standing. And at that point, since it is on the agenda, you can do a motion to amend something previously adopted to make that change.
Okay, but there is a question procedurally on the veto. The code says, and the state law says, the mayor may veto any action of the assembly, any motion, etc. So through the chair to the attorney, can he line item that amendment out of that legislation and then be done with it?
Mr. Attorney.
I will look into it more and get back to you, but I don't think so, and here's why. Because depending on what the amendment is and depending on what the vote was, there could be situations where assembly members would not have voted for something if the amendment wasn't there. And so what you're suggesting is that the mayor could simply veto the amendment even though the legislation passed, have the legislation still be in place, but have it not be as amended. In other words, not what the assembly members voted on. So I think the practical answer is that if he was trying to just veto an amendment, it would wind up in substance vetoing the whole action.
Because okay, that's a good explanation. Thank you.
Thank you. We are ready for public hearings, and so we will get started. Madam Clerk, Resolution 1317.
A resolution in support of House Bill Number 40, exempting certain farm food storage and production buildings from taxation.
So this is the beginning of our string of legislation that we're wanting direction on. We'll open the public hearing. Does anybody wish to speak to House Bill 40, Resolution 13-017? There's nobody signed up. We'll close the public hearing. Bring it back to Assemblymember Woods.
Serial number 13-017.
Does anybody want to speak to it? Assemblymember Culver.
Mr. Mayor, typically the borough and is authorized by state law to make provisions for reduction, property tax exemption. We typically do it with senior citizens, try to encourage folks to stay in our community after they retire, and I think it has our senior numbers are way up over the previous generations. But I just don't know why, you know, granted that you're in this industry and we do have some successful farmers. No one called me and said, hey, I need an exemption in order to keep farming. If they have a successful business model, it probably works. I do know a lot of farmers struggle, but I mean, why are we doing it for farming? Why aren't we doing it for trucking companies or broadcasting radio stations? I have a problem with, because this then would be shifted to the other part of the our community. So if we pull let's just say $1 million in revenue off of the books because now an exemption is could be possibly passed by a future assembly if this law passes, Well, the rest of the tax base is going to pick up that million. And why do we, you know, specifically support that business over others? Now, granted, I do support our agriculture industry, but I have seen some thriving industry in our valley, and no one came to me and said, I can't make it without having a tax break on my barns, my buildings. We already have a tax deferment, I think, of 7 years. If you sell farmland and you have received a deferment, you have to pay, I believe, 7 years of back taxes at what the appraised value would be when you sold it. So we already do have a tax advantage for farming land, for farmland. So I don't think it's fair to all our other small businesses. So I just philosophically kind of look at it in a libertarian point of view, I guess. Not that I don't like farming, I just don't know that I've heard the case to where we have to, why we should do it.
Okay, we don't have to debate this to death tonight, but Assemblymember Woods.
Yes, I'd like to see this state position on this before we decide on whether or not to support it. As I understand, and having read Title 40, that it will be up to the Borough Assembly to establish anything like this. So I would recommend no position on it. Thank you.
Assemblymember Colligan.
I was just wondering if anybody's calculated what the financial impact to the borough is on this, or if there's any way to. It's my biggest question at the moment.
I saw some numbers in Juneau. I don't know where they came from. Ms. Clayton, do you have some numbers?
Through the mayor to Assemblymember Culligan, with the properties that we've identified, which we could be missing some because it's not just property that is owned by the farmer. Anyone can lease a building to a farmer and get this exemption. So with regards to the properties that are known, the owned ones, it would be just in the area-wide fund, approximately $35,000 to $40,000. And then since we don't know which other service areas they're in, we don't have the other amounts.
And this applies to anybody that applies that has 10% or more agricultural? That it doesn't have to be on ag lands, right? It's just...
Correct. But it also applies to, for example, if you had a lot, you're not a farmer, but you leased that building on there, and they used it for this purpose, even though you're leasing the building for profit and you're not a farmer, you could get the exemption also.
Is there any definition of exactly what's ag? Does it matter what they're growing?
I don't recall that in there.
Okay.
Yeah,
I have some concerns. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you. We're ready for the question. Assemblymember Hall.
I would just wanted to mention, I don't agree with the state bill. It says only 10% of the individual's yearly gross income would be derived from farming. If it said 80 or 90% of the yearly gross income, then I think there would be some merit to this. But 10% just tells you they're not really engaged much in farming. So I don't really support that premise, period.
Assemblymember Colbert.
Vern's got a good idea for an amendment, a recommendation. We could support this with I think that makes more sense. If we're talking a farming livelihood versus a farming hobby, maybe our recommendation, but we could support it with amendments if we raise the threshold income level to 75-80%, if Mr. Halter wants to do that on a amendment.
Assemblymember Keogh.
Well, this resolution is no different than 8 or 9 or 10 others on the agenda tonight, which I, most of which affect things in the valley here. However, I find most of these resolutions burdensome. I mean, they're all supporting, or in one or two instances, opposing state legislation that's being posited by valley legislators or other others. And frankly, I haven't had, I like to do a pretty thorough job of reading everything, but I haven't had time to thoroughly understand all of these resolutions that we'll be endorsing or not. And I guess I'll reiterate what I've stated in the past. I think it's mostly inappropriate for waving the flag in support or saying a certain House or Senate bill legislation is not good. I think we need to better focus on the issues at hand locally and not giving a thumbs up or thumbs down to state legislative matters. That's it. I'm going to vote in support of this, but personally, I just prefer not to see these matters come before the Assembly.
Okay. With regard to your issue about 10%, I think the last iteration I saw of this, it actually requires 80 or 90% of the building to be used for ag purposes, so it can't be just used for a cover-up. And it's not a mandate. It's a tool we could or couldn't choose to use. I don't see any other hands, and I've heard objection, so Madam Clerk, do you want to take the vote?
I sure will. Assemblymember Culver.
No.
Assemblymember Culligan.
No.
Assemblymember Woods.
No.
Assemblymember Halter. Assemblymember Keough.
Yes.
Assemblymember Salmon.
No.
Assemblymember Arvin.
No.
Mr. Mayor, the legislation failed with Assemblymember Keough in support.
Okay. Ordinance 13-002.
An ordinance creating Lazy Lake Natural Gas Local Improvement District number 493, approving the improvement plan for the district, authorizing the manager to proceed with the improvements, and assessing equally among the properties within the district the costs of the improvement.
Okay, this we'll open this for public hearing, but remind everybody this had nowhere near enough votes to pass. So, who wants to speak to this? Oh, yes, Jay Cross.
You got it there?
We want to make sure Radio Free Palmer gets you.
I need all the help we can get here. You know, it, we live in an area over there bounded by all sorts of gas lines, up the Beaver Lake Road to Beaver Lake itself, on the other side of on the other side of our lake and everything. But we need to get the gas up our way. You know, when I moved over there 10 years ago, you know, fuel was a hell of a lot cheaper. Now we're looking at $4 a gallon fuel, and just getting it in there is a pain. We're ready to pay the price. I know what it's going to cost me, and it's not cheap. I know that we'll be spreading out the assessment over the years, but there's going to be other expenses, and I know it, and we're willing to do that. We've got more subdivisions going in back in behind there. There's already two or three, but we've got another one, and I think the costs would be amortized very, you know, among all of us, and we're ready, willing, and able to get this thing done. Thank you.
Yeah, the only thing you didn't get was the votes.
Pardon?
You didn't get enough votes to meet our own code. The borough would have to...
I wasn't aware that we didn't have the votes. We had 51%, didn't we?
That was on the petition, I didn't believe.
Are you speaking to...
Lazy Lake.
Lazy Lake?
Yes.
You got 30%, yes.
And 33, no. And
probably well. On the initial petition to start the process, you had your 50% of the property owners, but the final ballot didn't pan out.
Well, are you going to approve it or disapprove?
Well, we'd have to change our code to approve it, and that won't happen tonight.
Okay, I wasn't aware that that we only had 30%. Okay, thank you.
Anybody else? Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Solomon.
Mr. Mayor, I move to adopt ordinance serial number 13-002.
Okay, and I hope to hear objections. So, Madam Clerk, would you take the vote?
Assemblymember Culligan.
No.
Assemblymember Woods.
No.
Assemblymember Halter. Assemblymember Keough.
No.
Assemblymember Solomon.
No.
Assemblymember Arvin.
No.
Assemblymember Culver.
No.
Failed unanimously, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Now we're going to take the next three together. Both all LIDs that did have sufficient votes, ordinance 13003, 004, and 005.
Ordinance 13-003, an ordinance creating Southview Port Way and West Overview Circle Road Paving Local Improvement District Number 498, approving the improvement plan for the district, authorizing the manager to proceed with the improvement, and assessing equally among the properties within the district the cost of the improvement. Ordinance serial number 13004, an ordinance creating West DeMar Circle Natural Gas Local Improvement District Number 501, approving the improvement plan for the district, authorizing the manager to proceed with the improvement and assessing equally among the properties within the district the costs of the improvement. And ordinance serial number 13005, an ordinance creating K Estates Phase 1 and 2 Natural Gas Local Improvement District 506, approving the improvement plan for the district, authorizing the manager to proceed with the improvement and assessing equally among the properties within the district the costs of the improvement.
Thank you. We do have people signed up, and I'll open the public hearing. Rachel Janik, followed by Bill Lund.
Hello, I'm Rachel Janik, and I live off of Kay Lake and have been there for about 6 years. We put in propane with the hopes that gas would have been there sooner. We are 100% behind it. We want the gas because it would benefit tremendously and save us a ton. So I'm all for it.
Thank you. That's all we need to know. Bill Lund, followed by Barbara Kay.
Yeah, good evening. My name is Bill Lund. I live off Kay, well, in Kay Estates. Yeah, I was told it would be to our benefit to show up here and kind of reaffirm, you know, that we're for this, you know, even though that we voted this in. Yeah, we've been trying for some time now, you know, to get gas into that subdivision. And frankly, we got quite a crowd here that's kind of at the end of the rope paying for oil, so... kind of appreciate you folks putting us on the list, you know, as far as getting this done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Barbara, followed by Becky Newton. New something.
I'm Barbara Kay, and I live on West Kay Lake Road, and I've been there. This is the ninth, going on the ninth year, and. Like Bill said, they've been trying to get the gas line in since like 04. He's been doing a lot of work towards that end. And our greatest expense in our house is our fuel oil. Sometimes it's $1,200. It doesn't last very long. And in our household, that's ours. We can barely meet it at times. It's just very expensive. And it'd be great to have the gas line come through, and I hope you'll, you know, vote yes on that.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Becky
Newland, just for the record, and we live on Kay Lake next to Barbara and Dave Kay, and we've been there 5 years, and we heat with outdoor wood, and I'm tired of putting up 20 cords of wood a year to go through the winter, but that saves us in the vicinity of $8,000 to $10,000 a year, depending on how cold a year it is. And we really feel for the people that are on propane or fuel oil because their costs are extreme. and also makes a big difference in the sellability of our house. I know when people go to the realtor, they're really not interested in the house that isn't pretty economical as far as heating. So we're really for this, and it would be a big benefit to our whole street. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else? That's all that was signed up. Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it back, and I'll ask Assemblymember Solomon to move those.
Mr. Mayor, I move ordinance serial number 13-003, 13-004, and 13-005 for approval.
Thank you. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Assemblymember Culver. Turn your mic
when the
on.
Cost of a mortgage is less than the fuel oil it takes to heat a home in Alaska, I think anything we can do to assist in getting gas to our neighbors' properties is for the good of this community. And, you know, that's why I support these LIDs. Whether or not folks philosophically have an objection to government financing a gas extension, the bottom line is, $200 sure makes a lot less dent in someone's budget than over $1,000 this time of year. And it's just pure economics. Thank you.
That works as long as there's gas around. So, Assemblymember Keough.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just in counterpoint to Assemblymember Culver's statement, I will make you aware, if you're not already, that I'm introducing legislation regarding LIDs that will raise the threshold from the current 50% to 75%. That's on the agenda, and we'll have a public hearing on that next meeting. And the well, on one hand, while we're speaking generally of LIDs, they're advantageous for those who do want a natural gas, a local improvement district with an assessment and the access to natural gas. There are always those folks who do not want or do not need a natural gas. And however, they can and will be conscripted into the program, and they will have the same assessment even though they don't want it or can't afford it. So I just offer that as a counterpoint. And those folks who don't want it and who wind up getting it, again, their property can be foreclosed on by the borough if they do not pay that assessment, which in this case it looks like this is a assessment $9,480, $8,465. So we all acknowledge the savings made through having natural gas as an energy source, but we also need to be aware that it's not everyone wants it or needs it, and it's some would say it's an unfair encumbrance on those who don't want it.
So does everybody else want a counterpoint? Assemblymember Solomon.
I was just going to make the point that this is not the point in time where we do point counterpoint. Motion on the floor is to approve these already passed, and those comments that the last two assembly members made would have been better served at the end of the night under assembly member comments. I'd like to move this question forward, sir.
Thank you for making my point. Is there objection? Seeing and hearing none, those three LIDs pass, and let's take ordinance 13-026.
An ordinance approving a supplemental appropriation of $283,404 of revenues from the Sioux Kinnick Wetland Mitigation Bank to the Land and Resource Management Division fiscal year 2013 operating budget and reappropriating $50,000 to fund 480 project number 15031 operable forest land plan, $15,000 to fund 440 project number 15040 Rabbit Slough Access Parking Project, $23,000 to fund 440 project number 15040 Cottonwood Creek Access and Parking Project, $95,404 to fund 430 project number 35187 Hatcher Pass Transit Facility and Bus Accommodations, and $100,000 to fund 440 project number 15036 for the Matanuska River Park Master Plan Improvements from the Land and Resource Management Division Fiscal Year 2013 Operating Budget Fund 253 with accompanying resolution serial number 13018. a resolution approving the scopes of work and budgets for project number 15031, operable forest land plan, project number 15036, Manuska River Park master plan improvements, and amending the budgets for project number 15040, Rabbit Slough Access Parking Project, project number 15040, Cottonwood Creek Access and Parking Project, and project number 35187, Hatcher Pass Transit Facility and Bus Accommodations.
Thank you. Nobody signed up for this. It's a lot of big bucks there. Anybody want to speak to it? I don't see any, so I'm going to, Assemblymember Sykes was leaving. So we'll close the public hearing and bring it forward. And I'll ask Assemblymember Solomon to move that.
Mr. Mayor, I move ordinance serial number 13-026 with accompanying resolution number 13-018.
Thank you. Is there any discussion, Assemblymember Culver?
I have an amendment that's on your desk. I move to amend ordinance serial number 13-026 and resolution serial number 13-018 by striking the Matanuska River Park Master Plan Improvement Project entirely from the legislation and moving the $100,000 for that project into the Hatcher Pass Transit Facility and Bus Accommodations Project. This action was requested that I take this. We tried to tweak the legislation when it was introed, but we ran into clerical issues requested by the Community Development Department because of the discussions and the possibility of transferring the Matanuska River Park to the City of Palmer. They didn't want to spend this wetland mitigation funds to plow into that park at this time. And they are, they do think we need a little bit more money in that other project to get the square footage up to where some of these groups are hoping to use the community center as a venue so it'll be big enough, that the show will be big enough. So that's why that's before you. And the source of this money is from selling wetland credits through a brokerage. The borough has all the wetlands out by the port and a number of our municipal entitlement acres. And they're able to sell those to a broker or through a broker when you develop and have a 404 permit, excuse me, with the Corps of Engineers are required to buy wetland credits of approximately $9,000 an acre. And so some of this funding is flowing back to the borough for selling our offset wetlands for development.
Okay, on the amendment, is there objection to the amendment? Hearing none, we have the primary motion as amended. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Okay, Assemblymember Keogh.
I retract that it's moot since the Matanuska River Park Master Plan is no longer in play.
Okay, is there objection? Hearing none, it passes. Assemblymember Solomon, we need to keep the mics off for the.
Sorry, you can hear me thinking, huh?
Yeah. Well, I'm not worried about your thinking. I'm just worried about the volume in Taiwan. So, Madam Clerk, we're ready for 13027.
An ordinance approving the acceptance and appropriation of fiscal year 2013 community revenue sharing program funds in the amount of $629,200 to Fund 475. Project number 47033 with accompanying resolution 13019, a resolution approving the scope of work and budget for the fiscal year 2013 Community Revenue Sharing Program, project number 47033.
Okay, we'll open this for public hearing. Does anybody want to speak to it? There's nobody signed up. Seeing and hearing none, we'll close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Solomon.
Mr. Mayor, I move to adopt ordinance serial number 13-027 and resolution serial number 13-019.
Okay. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, that will make a bunch of community councils very happy. And we move to ordinance 13028.
An ordinance extending the time limit for completion of borough capital projects, including United States Fish and Wildlife Service Project Management, Project Number 30093, Meadow Lakes Area and Settlers Bay Road Culvert Replacement Project 30112, and Fish Passage Improvements, Project Number 30134.
Very good. We'll open this for public hearing. Nobody signed up. I see no one rising to speak, so we will close the public hearing, bring it back to Assemblymember Solomon.
Mr. Mayor, I move ordinance seal number 13-028.
Is there discussion? Is there objection? Seeing and hearing none, that passes unanimously. Ordinance 13029.
An ordinance authorizing the borough to issue area-wide general obligation bonds in one or more series to finance the acquisition, design, construction, major renovation, and renewal of educational capital improvement projects and related capital improvements in the borough, fixing certain details of said bonds and authorizing their sale.
Thank you. Again, nobody signed up. This is your chance to speak. Seeing and hearing none, we will close the public hearing and bring it to Assemblymember Solomon.
Mr. Mayor, I move ordinance seal number 13-029.
Thank you. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Seeing and hearing none. We authorized quite a few million dollars there. And we move to ordinance 13030.
An ordinance accepting and appropriating $3,000 from the Humane Society of the United States for a World Spay Day 2013 spay neuter event for low income residents, project number 47034, with accompanying resolution 13020, a resolution approving the scope of work and budget for project number 47034 to allow spay neuter event for low income residents through a grant from the Humane Society of the United States.
Thank you. We'll open a public hearing, and we do have Kathy Hummel signed up to speak to us.
Question with the language here, because I don't believe we should be spaying and neutering our residents. So perhaps it should imply that we're going to spay and neuter their pets. And in addition to that, as Mr. Colver, the libertarian, has pointed out, it's not a good idea to give away freebies to people like this, because if you can't afford a pet, perhaps you shouldn't be having a pet. So if you can't afford to neuter your pet, you can't afford a pet. So this is another one of those, let's make it easy for someone to do something they probably shouldn't. Maybe we should neuter them. Not a good idea.
Thank you. We'll keep our attorney busy that way. Anybody else? Seeing and hearing none, we'll close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Woods.
I move to adopt ordinance serial number 13-030 and resolution serial number 13020.
Thank you. Is there a discussion? I would point out that the event is for the low-income residents, not the neutering.
Mr. Mayor?
Assemblymember Arvin?
Is there a definition on what the threshold is for a low-income individual? I don't see it in the legislation.
Mr. Attorney?
That is properly directed to the manager.
Because this is a nationwide program, I believe they are tying this to the federal low-income standards, similar to what we have for federal housing subsidies.
So because it's... because it's in Alaska, it won't be 150%? Mr. Attorney?
It's going to be specified in the grant, Mr. Mayor.
Has anybody read the grant?
Not sitting at this table.
Okay.
And then a follow-up, if I could.
Yes, you may.
It's the legislation speaks to material costs for microchipping, altering rabies vaccination as an average. Is this just a spay and neuter activity, or are these other activities included?
Mr. Manager?
I believe it's just for the spay and neutering. It's a very low dollar grant, and we do have the actual, we have put this vent on in the past, and because we've been successful in the past, we are getting these small awards numerous times.
Anybody else? Is there any objection?
I object.
Okay, Madam Clerk.
Assemblymember Woods.
Yes.
Assemblymember Halter. Assemblymember Keough.
Yes.
Assemblymember Salmon.
Yes.
Assemblymember Arvin.
No.
Assemblymember Culligan.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culver.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, it passed with Assemblymember Arvin opposed.
Thank you. And our final ordinance, 13031.
An ordinance amending MSB 5.25.142 to annex property located in the Smith Street Herman Avenue area into the Greater Palmer Consolidated Fire Service Area Number 132, with accompanying resolution serial number 13-021, a resolution finding the annexation of properties located in the Smith Street Herman Avenue area into the Greater Palmer Consolidated Fire Service Area Number 132 serves the public interest without the placement of the question on the ballot.
Okay, I will open a public hearing, ordinance 13031. And we have Brian Endel signed up, followed by Larry Chapman.
Usually you don't speak in your own defense, but well.
Hi, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, and thank you, members of the Assembly, and Madam Clerk. I have a property off of Herman Avenue, and I just wanted to make a note that we've had a couple fires in that area, and since I've been there, and it's less than 7 years, I think, and we'd like to have, I talked to my neighbors, and we all got together and decided that we'd like to have the fire service there. So we back up right against the Moose Range. If our properties do happen to catch fire or whatever, we need the as much fire protection as we can there. I know there is a service, a forest service there too, but it would be helpful to have more. And just like to put that up for your consideration. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you. Larry Chapman.
Mr. Mayor, members, I live right on the corner of Smith and Herman.
State your name for the record.
Larry Chapman. Mm-hmm. And we live right on the corner of Smith and Herman. If you come out of Herman from the east, you run into our drive. And Brian's is right next to ours. And there's no reason why we couldn't. It's all flat. Plenty of room for the fire equipment. And right across the road, we had a fire approximately a year ago. They were in it. If we got it, we're out of it. So we'd like to see it passed and brought in, and whatever it costs, we're all for it. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else? Seeing and hearing none, we will close the public hearing, bring it back to Assemblymember Keough.
I move to adopt ordinance serial number 13-031 and resolution serial number 13-021. And I'd like to speak to that, please.
You may.
First of all, I'm generally and probably universally supportive of annexations to the fire service area. So I appreciate the effort Mr. Endel and Mr. Chapman made to bring this thing, bring this forward. I've had numerous conversations the last couple of days with the emergency services chief, Dennis Brodigan, and her email exchanges anyway, and a phone conversation with Charlie Akers, who's a longtime and senior chair of the Greater Palmer Fire Service Area Board. The recommendation by the Emergency Services Department and the Fire Service Area Board, as well as the Public Works Department, is that we approve this contingent on the construction of an improved roadway. This is a very small proposed annexation. It only includes five lots. Mr. Chapman and Mr. Endel, my understanding, own the two lots on the low end of the road, which have good road access. That's not a problem. However, the other three remaining parcels are on a road that doesn't meet borough standards, where access is problematic, and there's been an expression, and I've become more aware than I wanted to with the policy of access roads as we consider annexations into fire service areas. So so I am I'm going to encourage Mr. Endel and Mr. Chapman to come back, but I'm going to move that we postpone this issue until a date. I'm not going to make that motion quite yet. But this will allow either the, as my understanding in a previous conversation with Mr. Endel, that the neighbors further up the road with a steep grade and inadequate place to turn around, have let them have the opportunity to improve their roadway, or alternatively, if that's not going to happen, to come back with another petition and just annex the two properties, the Chapman and the Endel property, into the fire service area. So as much as I'd like to make this go forward now, I'm going to move to amend that we postpone action on this until July, the assembly meeting of July 16.
So is the intent to come back with a better road or a different boundary?
The intent is to postpone this till a time midsummer when either the folks affected in this fire service area will make a road improvement so we can pass this as it's presented here, or in the interim, if Mr. Endel and Mr. Chapman and their families decide they want to go ahead without their neighbors, I'd be fully supportive of an annexation of the smaller parcel. But I really don't want to be setting a precedent here where we add areas into a fire service area where we send firefighters and a $500,000 apparatus on a road where we may, where we can't get the vehicle turned around, where, as Charlie Akers expressed to me, where we can, damage some equipment. So, and I speak, one of my past careers is as a structural firefighter, so I'm certainly desirous to, having a fire service available to everyone, especially those who want it. But on the other hand, too, we need to follow the rules that we have in place. So that's the intent of my motion to postpone.
Okay, there's an amendment on the floor. Assemblymember Culver to the amendment.
Well, this is something I think where we're, this is Alaska. You don't always have a gold-plated road to your house. And if people want to get in a fire service area, we've got brush trucks. There's four-wheel drives. They don't have to bring out the big fire truck. Let the voters decide. You're going to have the voters approve this anyway. Put some pressure on them to get the road built then. By waiting, we're liable to miss this election because the road won't be done. I just think it's in the public's interest to have fire response. And they've obviously asked for it. Let's let the voters decide. Whether or not the road's up to standard, we can work with the road service area. There's a few other things that can be done. But to, you know, not take action when we're talking life, health, and safety, I think is a bad precedent as well. So I won't be supporting delaying this. I think we should put it on the ballot.
Assemblymember Culver, this isn't going to the ballot. This affects the annexation. Assemblymember Culver, I mean Culligan, sorry.
That's Culliver.
Culliver.
I see our EMS and at least one fire person back shaking their head. I was wondering if, through the manager, if they might come forward and actually give us their opinion and see if it differs at all or what the story is.
Is it all right if we harass your employees, Mr. Manager?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. To the Assembly and to Assemblymember Culligan. Basically, the philosophy of Department of Emergency Services is that anyone that wants to get into a fire service area, we are really supportive. We're going to try to do whatever we can to facilitate that, and that's our basic premise. However, we did set up policies and procedures in conjunction with the clerk's office so that we treated every annexation the same. And in that, there's a checklist of different things that we ensure take place before we annex a property. And the very first thing is that it be contiguous with the existing fire service area that they're being annexed into so that we don't create donut holes. That's created a great deal of problems to our dispatchers and to our operations when we dispatch to fire scenes. The other is that we have good access and egress into the area, that we are able to, in all seasons, be able to get to the property in a timely manner, and that we be able to actually provide the fire protection services that we're charging them through their taxes. The particular properties up on Smith Road, it's a very narrow road, number one, that in this time of the year, we possibly can't even get the vehicle up the road to begin with. Once we are up the road, then we'll still have a great deal of problems getting into the area and having the ability to maneuver with the area. So we have a lot of areas, especially flag lots are a really great example of long driveways that aren't maintained during the winter, that what we ask then of our firefighters, who by the way are all on-call responders, they're not paid except for when they actually respond on calls, but we ask them to put their lives in danger to lay hundreds of feet, and in some cases over 1,000 feet of hose in steep, slick terrain in order to just get the hose laid to where the structure fire is. Then the second problem is pumping water uphill and expecting a pressure at the end of the nozzle to come out sufficient to put a fire out doesn't work very well. The suggestion of a brush truck, brush trucks only hold about 100 gallons of water. Again, asking our firefighters to go in to a structure fire with only 100 gallons of water and expecting them to be effective just isn't going to happen. So we would like to, when we annex areas into our fire service areas in the future, is to actually be able to provide the services to them year-round. So those were some of the things taken into consideration.
I have a question about process and stuff. Mm-hmm. So was the Endels and Chapmans given any feedback to this issue before tonight, or did they come to the meeting and find out this about their application?
No, the clerk calls a meeting to begin with after she receives the petition. The Department of Public Works, myself, and the affected fire chief of the area, at a minimum, meet with the petitioners. And at that meeting, I invited all of the petitioners to come to the Greater Palmer Fire Service Area Board of Supervisors meeting, which most of them did. We had this discussion in their presence. They're fully aware of the board's position on this.
So you recommended against this when it came forward?
We would truly like to see this area annexed in.
No,
however, contingent upon an assurance that that road is going to be widened, that it's going to be maintained, plowed, so that and having an area in which our very large apparatus have a radius in which to turn and be able to get out of the area as well. Backing down Smith Road is not something that we'd want to be doing in a tanker or an engine.
So, Mr. Mayor, I have a procedural question. Can we amend this with that amendment tonight and pass it, or is that something that they, what is the process for proof and procedure?
Mr. Attorney, it would require some legal descriptions, I assume.
And that was my issue here. I'm going to look up real quick, Mr. Mayor. You could amend it, but when you look at the legal description on page 212 of the packet, the bold underlined text is Township 18 North Range 2 East, Seward Meridian, Alaska, Section 5, Southeast Quarter of the Southeast Quarter. I have no idea how you would amend that to include only those parcels. I think you might, if you didn't want to go all the way until July, maybe go one meeting for either GIS or somebody to come up with a legal description to just include whatever amendment you would want to make.
Well, I think the suggestion was is based on, is annexing it in with contingent upon them improving that road. And do we have to wait for them to approve the road before approving, or is it two incremental steps of defining the parcels, bringing in the ones that are in compliance, and then in the next step going through another application process? Or
I think at the legislative level, Assemblymember Culligan, you either include it in an RSA or you don't include it in an RSA. If there are conditions you'd like to see satisfied, they should be satisfied before you vote to include it. I'm sorry, FSA.
Yeah.
I said RSA. I misspoke.
The clerk tells me that we can, if this can be amended, Smith Road can be amended out, and she will put the correct legal description in. Assemblymember Keough.
Well, then if there's no objection, I'll withdraw my amendment to postpone until July and move that we postpone to a date certain next meeting with a legal description describing the Endel and the Chapman property and as a ways to include those in the annexation but delete the others that don't have adequate physical road access.
Mr. Mayor, it sounds like we can deal with this tonight and have the clerk take care of the administrative and be done with it and allow the property owners to come back this summer with the additional properties with a different petition.
I think that was the clerk's suggestion. Assemblymember Keough.
The mayor, through the clerk, can you clarify, please? What can we do this evening?
Through the mayor to Assemblymember Keough, if the body does want to make that amendment to only include those two properties on Smith Road, you can state that as your amendment. I will have to go through probably platting just to get the legal description changed on the, as long as I'm given clear direction, I can get that done.
Okay. So, Mr. Mayor?
You have the floor.
I'll withdraw my second amendment to postpone and ask that the move that we pass this with the description that will be provided by the clerk to include the Chapman and the Endel property and not the others.
Okay. Thank you. I will accept that amendment. And I guess just to follow up, I don't understand how we got an administration request to adopt this if there was,
Mr. Mayor,
if there was a hitch. Madam Clerk.
To the mayor, in reference to the petition process, if the petition passes, I can't stop it from coming forward. It's ultimately up to the body whether they approve it or not. So that basically the boards, the O&M, and also Mr. Brodigan usually provide their opinions and to let the assembly know. But ultimately, it's the assembly's decision.
Okay, we're doing that. So there's an amendment on the floor. Assemblymember Colbert.
Mr. Mayor, that folks that live in this North Colony Road Service area pay some of the highest mill rate in the valley for roads, and it's not their fault that their road is not up to the standard. They want fire service. They did everything they asked for, and they get down here, and it's one bureaucratic hurdle after another. And I'm not going to say no. We'll figure out how to get that road taken care of. They're paying higher insurance rates, and we're stumbling over whether or not, how far our truck can go in, or we can only do two lots. I think we need to take care of our residents. And if we're charging a lot of taxes for road service, let's get with the road maintenance department. Let's get that road upgraded. Let's do what it takes. But let's not just say no because we've run into a little hurdle. Let's bring them in the fire service area, say yes, and figure out how to make the road better.
Okay, speaking against the amendment. Assemblymember. Okay. Is there objection to closing debate on the amendment? I don't hear any, and I've heard objections, so Madam Clerk, would you take the vote?
Assemblymember Halter. Assemblymember Keough.
Yes.
Assemblymember Salmon.
Yes.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yeah, Madam Clerk, can you please restate what the amendment is?
The amendment is on the floor is to only include the Endel and Chapman property that are located off of Herman Avenue into the annexation and to delete the other three.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culver.
No.
Assemblymember Culligan.
Yes.
Assemblymember Woods.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, it passed with Assemblymember Halter and Culver opposed.
Okay, we have before us the main motion amended. Is there going to be objection to that?
Additional discussion?
You can do that. Assemblymember Arvin.
Yeah, I'm going to echo what Mr. Culver said. And with all due respect to Mr. Brodigan, I think it's just a little bit weak to suggest that it makes it too tough because firefighters have to roll out hose for hundreds of feet. I tend to think that is maybe the job of a firefighter to do what is necessary or get an inline pump or do whatever you have to do to pump uphill. And I think that we ought to be doing everything we can to provide service, not figure out ways why we can't. So with that, I support.
So Assemblymember Arvin, do you want to reconsider your last motion then, since you voted on the affirmative, because that was the motion that took that out of the service area?
Well, that was the point of my clarification to the clerk, was I thought that we were including the parcels.
No. So do you want to reconsider?
I would move to reconsider.
Okay, there's a motion to reconsider on the amendment. Is there objection to reconsidering?
Yes.
Objection.
Okay, there is objection to reconsidering. So, Madam Clerk, would you take the vote? And the vote is not on the annexation. It's on whether to reconsider the motion on the amendment.
Assemblymember Keough.
No.
Assemblymember Salmon.
No.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culver.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culligan.
No.
Assemblymember Woods.
No.
Assemblymember Halter. Mr. Mayor, the motion to reconsider failed with Assemblymember Arvin, Culver, and Halter in support.
Okay, we once again have the main motion on the floor. Assemblymember Culver.
Can we get some kind of a commitment on how we're going to handle the other properties, what's going to happen when?
Be out of order at this point, Assemblymember Culver.
Well, that would help me decide how I'm going to vote. What's going to happen next?
I don't think we're in a position to solve that right now. Okay, are we ready for the question? Is there objection? Main motion as amended without the Smith Road. There is objection, Madam Clerk.
Assemblymember Salmon.
As amended, yes.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Reluctantly, yes.
Assemblymember Culver.
Reluctantly, yes.
Assemblymember Culligan.
Yes.
Assemblymember Woods.
Yes.
Assemblymember Halter. Assemblymember Keough.
Yes, without adjectives or adverbs.
Mr. Mayor, it passed with Assemblymember Halter opposed.
Okay. Well, if I'd have known that was going to take that long, we'd have taken a break. But we're going to take our break now until 15 to 8. Okay, I'm going to call the meeting back to order. We almost have a quorum at the table, but we have a quorum in the room. So this is our point for audience participation. This is your chance to talk to us about just about anything, but it is an exercise in civility. And I want to remind everybody about that. We're here to listen to your opinions and to behave professionally. First person signed up to speak is Mr. Brian Endel, followed by Janet McCullough. And the reason I read two names is so you can move in position and we can maybe save a little time.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly, and Madam Clerk. I appreciate this opportunity to speak to you. I really don't have much to say other than I just wanted to thank the mayor for moving my name forward.
Thank you. Janet, followed by Alice Kostick.
Mr. Mayor, Assembly members and staff, my name is Janet McCullough, and I would like to take this opportunity to speak for Brian Endel, who I come to know through the Buffalo Mine Soapstone Community Council. I came to know Brian late in the summer of 2011 when our community council became embroiled in some things. Well, I didn't know much about the community council at that time, but it caused a lot of dissension in the community. It was solved, but it left a lot of hard feelings. I met Brian Endel at one of those community council meetings during the fall of 2011. And then he also stopped by our house when he was campaigning for a seat on the board of the community council. Brian was elected to the board in November of 2011 and was selected to serve as president of the community council for the upcoming year. Our community council membership had also requested a review of the current bylaws, and one of Brian's first tasks was to appoint a bylaw committee to begin to review and update those bylaws. I was one of the six members selected to work on this committee. Because of Brian's initiative, the work of the bylaw committee, and input from the community council membership, the amended bylaws were placed on the ballot this past November and were approved by a two-thirds majority of the membership. Brian was always professional when he presided over the community council meetings. He, along with other members of the board, made sure that meetings were well advertised, well organized, and the meetings began on time. Brian was familiar with the rules of calling a meeting to order, and he was very capable in progressing the agenda to the meeting's adjournment. He always displayed a calm attitude and kept the meeting on track. He was fair and impartial and made sure that everyone had the opportunity to speak, including those who spoke against him, and sometimes it was very personal. Brian has persevered this last year, and through his efforts, he has made a very positive contribution to both our community and our community council. So I hope you will support him as the mayor's recommendation to the Planning Commission. Thank you.
Thank you. Alice, followed by Jennifer Charbit. And if your name isn't Kostick, you can correct me.
Chostick. After reviewing the applications for the vacancy on the Planning Commission, it is clear that Barbara Hunt is the most qualified for this position and should be confirmed based on her expertise and knowledge of the community. I'm a 37-year resident of the Buffalo Mine Soapstone Community Council area. During this time, our community has grown significantly, and concerns have been voiced by residents at community council meetings on getting natural gas in our area, road improvements, and how we could encourage small businesses to come to our community that would improve our quality of life. It was agreed that planning was needed to deal with a variety of issues, such as increased traffic on our roads, emergency response, and the recreational use of the area by both residents and visitors. We needed to plan for safer places for our children to wait for the school bus, allow for safer vehicle and non-motorized activities such as bike trails, or increase the access to our recreational areas to all our residents, not just those whose property adjoins state land in the Moose Range. It was time to update our community's comprehensive plan. Under the supervision and guidance of the Borough Planning Department, I had the opportunity to be on that planning committee, providing countless hours of volunteer time to work with the community members' input. It is understood that the mayor shall make appointments. However, these appointments are subject to confirmation by the Assembly. I request that you reject the mayor's appointment of Brian Endel. As he states in his resume, he helped assemble community members to make them aware of an existing comprehensive plan and halt discussion. I observed him provide residents with misinformation along with using scare tactics about what comprehensive plans are. He was instrumental in preventing community members from even hearing what was being proposed in the updated plan. He did not allow for the democratic process to take place by those who attended the borough planning presentation at the proposed plan. It is clear that this is not someone who should be considered for the Planning Commission. Barbara Hunt is a former borough planning commissioner with educational background in urban and regional planning, real estate analysis, and is currently a business and community liaison for the Alaska Job Corps Center. She's interested in making businesses, developers, and property owners' investments and improvements secure in the Mat-Su Borough. You have an obligation to the residents of the Mat-Su Borough to confirm someone that is a planning commission that is knowledgeable. Barbara Hunt is the right person for this position. Please live up to your duties of your elected position and reject the mayor's appointment of Brian Endel.
Thank you. Good timing. Jennifer, followed by Sandra Coons.
Hi, my name is Jennifer Charvet. Just for some history, I was the community council president of the Buffalo Mine Soapstone Community Council area for 10 years. Until Brian Endel and a few of his friends took it over. I have a few things to point out on his resume that are in error. In addition to, I want to make sure you're aware that Barbara Hunt, as the previous person said, is actually very qualified for the position on the Planning Commission. Brian Endel is not. He has no prior experience with this type of thing, short of when he became involved in September of 2011, when he went door to door informing residents of what supposedly was in the proposed comprehensive plan. He told a lot of false information, and when confronted on this of why he told lies to community members, his direct quote was, "Because if I don't tell them that, they're not going to listen." The other thing I wanted to mention is it says in his resume that he formed a committee. As president of the community council, he formed the bylaws committee. That's actually not the case. What he actually did, the committee had already been formed prior to his appointment, and he then dismissed half of the appointees on that committee who were volunteers from the community and appointed his own people to the committee. And then the committee went through the process of amending the bylaws which he then pulled from the committee prior to them finishing. Him and several of his friends on the community council then made amendments to those in closed-door meetings and then presented their version to the community council. So in case you're not seeing the theme here, he essentially did what he wanted while he was in that position, regardless of what the community members were wanting. The other thing I wanted to point out is we have on tape conversations of him ridiculing other community council officer for the fact that his wife spoke up without his permission. According to that conversation that is on record, if you, as a woman, speak up without the permission of your spouse, that is inappropriate and wrong. And I don't know what century he lives in, but in this century, that's not the case. Thank you.
Mr. or Sandra Coons, followed by Mike Coons.
Thank you, kind sir. My hat is off to you, Mr. Kale. This is in support of the 75% vote for or against the LIDS. I got a series of questions I want all of you to stop and think about, and this is something I wish the rest of you to stop and think about as well. How many folks here are living in are seniors living on fixed income? Don't answer, just think about it. How many of you are seniors who have had to find a paying job to help pay for the bills coming up or you're facing right now? Or are you trying to find a job to pay for them? How many of you or your own parents are on the edge of having to make the decision of buying their needed medications, pay for their bills, or pay for their housing? How many of you might end up in such a position if LIDS continue on as they are? How many of you can actually truly afford a $500 or more property tax added onto what you're already paying? I can't. How many of you are aware that unable to pay this thing, the borough can take everything away from you, as you guys know? They might not. Why should those of us who don't want the gas line have to pay for it? I don't want it. I'm quite happy with what I've got. Why should I have to help pay for it? For the assembly, how many people in the Butte area that lost their homes because they couldn't pay the LID, the higher property taxes, were seniors? These are a few things I'd like you to all to stop and consider before saying no to raising the vote to 75%. Please. Thank you.
Mike, followed by Becky Newland, I think she already spoke to that.
Kind of hard, hard act to follow, my wife. My name is Mike Coons. I live in Wagner Subdivision. Several of you on this assembly consider yourselves conservatives, which is great. The major tenet of conservatism is that less taxes, less government is best, that the person is valuable and should be making their decisions for their betterment. That government doesn't know what is right for each of us. We don't believe in democracy. Rather, we are a republic and know that democracy is just another form of socialism. Even our founders were skeptical of majority rule and believed in the right of the individual over the collective. So how does this relate to the LID situation we face? Simple. A 50% majority can tell the other 50% that they are taking their hard-earned money for the benefit of the majority. Let me put this situation in this light. My wife and I want to upgrade her home, which we have an estimate of $30,000 for. It will take several years for us to save that $30,000. Thus, we call for a LID because the improvement will not only improve our home, but increase the real estate comparables, which will be a direct benefit for the neighbors when they choose to sell. We feel that our neighbors should then help in that effort to the tune of $500 a year for the next 5 years. That way, I only need to come up with $2,500 from my pocket, and the rest I can get a guaranteed loan from the borough for the remaining $27,500. Then when construction is done, we could have our neighbors over for dinner, or not, since it is our property and they can't really use our property, just pay for our capital improvement. I am sure that if this were approached to this assembly, the outrage by our neighbors would be loud and clear, as it should be. So why is it then right for a few to dictate to the many that we must pay for their capital improvements? Sure, I can have the gas in my home, but I must either save the money to get the line, meter, and upgrade the furnace, or go into debt for that improvement. But that is my choice. True, the cost of NSTAR to come into our neighborhoods and bring in natural gas is expensive. However, if the individuals want to improve their property, that cost should be borne by that family. To demand that those who either don't have the money for this capital improvement or just choose not to is a clear violation of our individual rights and freedoms. Many here do not like President Obama and his redistribution of wealth. Well, that is exactly what yet they want to do just that by demanding we pay for their gas lines. When I want to switch to natural gas, I will save the money and get it when I can get to pay the cash for it and not before. The bottom line is I choose to be frugal with my finances.
Please wrap it up.
I will be damned if I will enable those who are not frugal with theirs. Vote yes to make this a supermajority vote until we can get rid of the lids in their entirety. Thank you.
Thank you. Becky, followed by Chris Marcio. Something. Oh, that's you. Okay. I believe that Becky spoke to the earlier gas LID and had signed up by mistake. So you're on, Chris, followed by Helen Woodings.
My name's Krista Masielik. I'd like to speak to the vacancy on the Planning Commission, District 1. I sent a public opinion message on this a couple of weeks ago. Hopefully you've got it. It would take longer than 3 minutes to read into the record, so I hope you did get a chance to look at that. When considering the applicants for the open position on the Planning Commission, please do not make the mistake of choosing someone who has been demonstrably hostile to the planning process as well as demonstrably hostile to the public process. It will come as no surprise to many people here that I oppose the appointment of Mr. Brian Endel to this position. It will certainly come as no surprise to Mr. Endel himself. To use the Matsu Borough's own words, the Planning Commission is a body of citizens to serve as an advisory group to the Assembly on issues and activities related to planning, land use regulation, and community development in general. The duties of the Planning Commission include holding public meetings and hearings, prepare comprehensive plans, review and recommend land use regulations, act on variances and conditional use permits. From community council meetings, Mr. Endel's on record opposing comprehensive planning, opposing land regulations, and opposing public meetings. I understand that there was some, I talked a lot more about this in my public opinion message, so I'm not going to go into the whole thing. But I understand that there was some sort of business relationship between Mr. Colligan and Mr. Endel. I'm disappointed but not surprised that that was not included on Mr. Endel's resume, but I do think that the record should be clear. So I hope that Mr. Colligan will address that and also perhaps consider whether he should recuse himself from this vote. He can ask the assemblyman sitting next to him what even just the appearance of impropriety can do to business before the borough. I also understand that Mr. Endel has a relationship with mining companies Usabelli and Riversdale. I'm not sure if it's a financial interest, such as through an IT company that provides support services to the mining industry, but I think this is something that needs to be disclosed. Maybe Mr. Colligan wants to speak to that as well. Again, we have all seen what even the appearance of impropriety can do to business before the borough. Now, to speak positively, I was thrilled that Barbara Hunt submitted an application. Other people have talked about her commitment. It's on her resume. Food banks, animal shelter, community recycling. She's obviously committed to bettering the community through tangible acts as well as through the planning process. It would also be nice to see more diversity, including more women on commissions. Perhaps do something to change the Matsubura's reputation as behind the times. And I also can't help but think of Mary Qualheim. I think it would be a great tribute to her and her memory of true public service, like Barbara Hunt, who has been similarly engaged in community activities.
Please wrap up.
Ms. Qualheim services February 23rd, noon, at Raven Hall. I hope to see you there.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, is this a time that I can address some slanderous accusations that are absolutely not true? And
well, I'll let you speak to it later.
Okay, thank you.
Helen Woodings, followed by Tom Berge.
Mayor Larry DeVilbiss, I urge you to appoint Barbara Hunt for the vacancy on the Planning Commission. My late husband, Guy Wooding, served 7 years with the Planning Commission during the time Barbara Hunt worked in the Planning Department. They had great respect for each other. A lot was achieved during that time. Barbara has served 2 terms in the Planning Commission herself. As was stated before, she was the one who began community councils. She could see the need, and they have been an effective tool for our knowing what's going on and working together. Barbara has participated in every major issue in this borough. She listens, and she's a reasonable person. She hears both sides. But more than that, she tackles feminine issues. There are no women on the borough assembly. There are no women, have not been any women on the Planning Commission. There's 1 woman on the Fish and Game Commission and 1 on the Airport Advisory Commission. 50% of the people in the audience today are women. Warren Keogh represents me. Noel Woods, my representative, has not represented me ever. I think it's time for you to have a woman on some of these commissions and boards. This would be an excellent time. I urge you again to vote for Barbara Hunt.
Thank you. Tom, followed by Ken Barber. Right.
Barber, I'm not going to throw daggers or shoot at anybody here, but the reason that I came up to speak to you is because I really have 2 issues that I'd like to address here. One is the Jim Creek public use area, motorized use area. I would like to see that amendment that was added to it go away. I think it would be really good if it would mirror the state's regulations and rules that are out there on the public use area right now. And the other issue that I have is, you know, I've been here a long time too, and these gentlemen that were in the back room here talking about their fire mitigation or however you do that, whatever you're talking about there. You know, when I first came to Dubuque, there was 2 trucks out there, an old 6x and a tanker that barely moved. But yet they got the job done. And I've seen it go from a little building to a great big, whatever you want to call it. It's huge. And there's 2 buildings now and a whole bunch of trucks and 4-wheelers and other kind of stuff that's there. It seems to me like this borough could at least make that, how do you want to say? I think they could at least get up there. I mean, all you got to do is chain them trucks up and, man, put the fire out. But that's all I got to say. Thanks.
Thank you. I think we understood what you were saying. Jim Sykes.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly. I, I had to pull myself away from my nice warm wood stove, but I thought there was a couple things I'd like to talk about. One is the fire district. You're going to hear from a lot of people, folks. I mean, the fire truck can't turn around in my neighbor's driveway, but they could turn around in my driveway, which is further up the road. And I think you're going to have to maybe just figure a way to try and get smaller trucks with capability or something, because people are willing to pay for the service. So, you know, it's coming. You didn't make this issue go away tonight. I can assure you that. The other one is the issue of vacancies, which I'm going to address. I think the idea of having the boards and commissions and community councils is to really have a wide variety of people talk about the issues and consider what a lot of people are thinking before it gets to where you are. And so you always want a lot of diversity here. And I just met Mr. Endel for the first time. Seems like a nice guy. The mayor gets to pick. I understand the process. I don't care if he worked for Mr. Culligan or not, but the diversity is important, and hearing from a lot of qualified people. And what I seem to be seeing is that it's more important who you know and not that you're really qualified for the position. And I find that really disturbing. And I looked at the candidates, and just looking at the resumes that were submitted, it was clear to me, and like I said, Mr. Endel may be a nice guy, but he was like either number two or three on the list just in terms of qualifications. And so I was quite surprised to see the mayor move Mr. Endel and not some of these other people that are obviously qualified. So all I would say is, Mr. Mayor, please reconsider your motion here. And I've heard some kind of disturbing things. I don't know if they're true or not, but I know there's qualified people out there. In the interest of full disclosure, Barbara Hunt is my neighbor, but I haven't had any contact with her, and she doesn't know I'm here tonight to speak in her support, but she's one of the people who's very qualified, and I just would ask you to reconsider. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Is there anybody else that wants to speak? Don't all come at once, but you can come forward and get ready.
Hey there, members of the Assembly, Mayor DeVilbiss. My name is Delana Johnson, and I'm speaking to you tonight first as a constituent of Assemblymember Woods and Mayor DeVilbiss. I just wanted to, and I've been sitting here thinking about this the first half for a while, for the last week, I was in attendance at the Hatcher Pass, and Hatcher Pass had a ski race, the Burroughs ski race, high school. I think there was four high schools and all the Valley high schools and Valdez in attendance. And I just wanted to compliment the borough manager, the public works director, Mayor DeVilbiss, for having Assemblymember Culver and has worked on Hatcher Pass issues for a long time. What a great facility that is there. I mean, if not all of you have been there or been there for a ski race, I'd really encourage you to go, because it's just a great thing to have in the borough, and I think it's the realization of a lot of people's efforts over a long time. So I just want to compliment the borough on having done that and put that together. So it's working well, and there was a lot of people in attendance that were visitors from outside the borough as well. But after saying that, I have to get to my next point, which would be, I was surprised to see the monies for the Matanuska River Park kind of just go to Hatcher Pass. And although Hatcher Pass is a great place, I do want to make note that I would like to see that vote reconsidered, just because at the planning meeting a couple weeks ago, I mean, there was a number of people in the room discussing Matanuska River Park, and probably about twice as many people that was here tonight. So I know there's a lot of interest, a lot of local interest in seeing that area become something that's really usable. And I think $100,000 would go a long ways toward that. And even if even if that wasn't all used for Matanuska Park. I mean, maybe there's half and half or something, but to just let it disappear just on the notion that it might go to the city of Palmer. So no, if the city of Palmer gets it, then you guys, I'm thinking the Hatcher Pass, that's fine. We'll go ahead and take that piece, but I'd love to. One of the local residents that we have has spent a tremendous amount of time on the Matanuska River Park. They have a great partnership with some young energy there, and they have connections and have formed some cooperative relationships with National Park Service. And of course, City of Palmer is there to, and is, I'm speaking more from the City of Palmer perspective, but I really think there's a lot of cooperation that's been working towards development of Matanuska Park. So just something, I just want to make sure that didn't just happen without note that of great benefit in the Matanuska River Park area. Thank you.
Especially before you get it. Anybody else?
Members of the Assembly, the Mayor, Madam Clerk, my name is Steve Renner. I live up in Warren Keogh's district, up in the Soapstone Buffalo Mine Road area. And I'm here to speak on behalf of myself as a constituent. I'm currently on the board of the Soapstone Buffalo Mine Road Community Council. I served with Brian Endel on the council. And I just want to say, as you folks up there on this sitting in front of me, leadership is not always popular, okay? Especially when you run to the roar. And we had a situation up there in our community that did require some leadership. And I do not disrespect any of those that served prior. But the problem we had was we had major decisions made by the hands of very few. We approached that situation, and our numbers in the last year at our council meetings have pretty much proved we were well received. Leadership in my behalf requires someone who can separate themselves from an issue by taking their emotions and setting them aside. They can take a look at the facts and make a decision based on those facts. Qualifications, I mean, I would like to say they're great, but I think we live in a day and age when qualifications have not always proved themselves to be the best way to go. And I just ask that you open your minds to someone who does have ideas and he sees way out ahead in the future, and that's why I support Brian Endel, and I ask you to do so. Thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioner Lackey, Mr. Mayor, Assembly, I'm here to speak in behalf of the Jim Creek Recreation Area Plan that we put together, and I guess as it wound up, you vetoed, but primarily I understand your thoughts with the shooting out there. I oppose to shooting in the park as recreation, but there are hunters that use that area, and people to define where the borders are tough. If we could put together something that would match up with the way the state plan is, where they don't allow, you know, a lot of the target shooting and that sort of stuff, and the things that go on in the middle of the night when they shouldn't be going on, and people discharging firearms at that point. We have had no issues with the hunters in the area. We live right next door, so we just have not had an issue on that end. But on the other end of the program, if we could somehow or other tag on with the state and match up kind of what their program is on that, I would strongly support that as well. Thank you. Appreciate all the work you guys do.
Thank you. Anybody else?
My name is Judy Donegan. I also live in Buffalo Mines, Soapstone. I just want to sort of support what some people have said. There was a bylaws committee appointed by Jennifer. under the old regime, I guess. I was a member appointed to that committee, and I was removed from the committee. I agree with people who say that that committee that was appointed did a very good job. Ms. McCullough was on it. She worked hard. I think it was primarily due to the efforts of Brandy Crum, who was the chairwoman of the committee. It makes it all the more ironic that Mr. Endel then would basically take the committee's work away from them before they were finished. He appointed the committee. They were acting, I suppose, on his behalf, and he still removed them. I agree with Mr. Renner that we need leadership, but I think that involves honesty and not scare tactics and misrepresentation. I'd like to read, I sent you a letter, and I quoted a couple of things that Mr. Endel has said. So using his own words, ask yourself how this can be true. In the president's letter in March 2012, he said, "In order for the board to be effective, we need your support." That's true. You have to show up at the community council meetings or you will lose the rights to your land. To put things plainly, if your property is worth $100,000, your 2.5 hours on May 3rd is worth $25,000. What in the world could that mean? I think leaders need to be honest. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Hello, my name is Julia Plotnick. I also sent a public opinion message to all of you, which hopefully you received today and read. I sent it 2 weeks ago as well, so you've had two chances. I just want to reiterate a couple of things that were said tonight about Brian Endel. I just want to back up what was said by Jennifer Charvet, Krista Masielek, Judy Donegan, and Alice Chostek. Everything that they said, I can vouch for. A couple of things that weren't mentioned that I think are important. One is that when Brian Endel, well, first of all, we already heard that he took some people off the bylaw committee that were already on it and put some other people on, took the bylaws from the group before they were actually finished. But the key thing at that point is that the board, led by Brian Endel, changed some of the very important things that had been debated for a long time on the bylaw committee, very key factors like how many people needed to be at a meeting to make a quorum and how many meetings to have in a year, and then presented those to the community council as though they came from the bylaw committee, even though the board had changed those at the last minute when they pulled the bylaws from the group. Another thing is when Brian Endel found out that this comprehensive plan was going to get voted on, I believe, I'm not sure if he made it exactly, but there was a request to postpone the voting so that more people could become aware of this comprehensive plan. And people went door to door and told people about it, sent out flyers, which I sent you a copy of, that were not quite the whole picture, but a little bit biased, and got a huge amount of people to go to this meeting, which I think is great. I think it's great that more people came. We went from a group of about 30 or so to about 160. That part's great, but what was supposed to happen at that meeting, which was requested, was that we would go through the comprehensive plan line by line so that everybody would have a chance to hear every single thing that was in that plan and then decide whether or not to vote it in. And that's how it should have happened. That's public process. But what happened is everybody came in prepped to what they called quash the plan, to vote it down before listening to a single line of the plan at that meeting. And I don't think that's public process. And I encourage you to approve Barbara Hunt as opposed to Brian Endel for the Planning Commission. Thank you.
Next.
these issues, my name's Kathy Hummel, dovetail together. For instance, the Soapstone problem in their community council. We had the same problem out in the Butte when our community council just made up this fictitious story that we were going to go motorized or non-motorized. And Mr. Arvin, if you're listening, that was your big concern with the comments that came in from the community. You said we were acting less than presidential while trying to convey our feelings on what should be or whether it should be non-motorized or motorized. Please look through all the input and notice nobody ever said non-motorized. We were a little more concerned with what does motorized mean? And then the quick word jujitsu, you know, like why I'm a little worried about spaying residents is motorized use, motorized access. Those words suddenly got muddled together, and I think we're going to end up with a Wheeler Park. Nobody ever clarified the term. Going on talking about making up things as we go along instead of planning, Arvin, you said you want to put a box around public land designated for specific uses and multi-uses within specific designated areas. Huh? Designated areas by you, not designated by plans or by nature. So you're going to put a Wheeler Park in an area that you designated but isn't suitable for it in terms of the science. You said that we were just a bunch of NIMBYs that were somehow not wanting to have people in our backyard coming to play, and I'm kind of thinking, I'm a woman, I live around 50 other women, and you're inviting 3,000 to 5,000 men into our community to play with guns and equipment that's not licensed or registered and drink. And I know a little of the history of that area, and it was really not my concern about motorization. I'm more concerned about brutalization to women, Butcher Baker style. That's what a lot of us remember about the history of that area. You said liability is ridiculous, and then went on to say that the borough could be responsible if somebody gets hurt, and that was not true. And well, that's a lie, because we are responsible when somebody gets hurt. We may not be liable, but we're responsible, or we wouldn't send EMTs out there. So you keep changing words on me. First, we're not liable, then we're not responsible. It's motorized use, it's motorized access. I'm a NIMBY. No, you're not a NIMBY. I think the NIMBY is Mr. Arvin, who knows that he's got protection in his backyard, but doesn't really want what's going on in my backyard going on in his backyard. So he called everything we said a weak argument when we weren't arguing. We were just trying to present some facts. Planning never considered facts from Department of Public Safety, from EMS, from the trauma people, from the erosion people, the fish people, the flood people. All these people you've got, you didn't listen to any of them. So I guess when you pick a planner, just make, because that was all it was a 5 against 3, 4. No facts.
Ma'am, please wrap it up.
Use facts, 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 and not feelings.
Thank you. Is there anybody else? We're willing to listen to most anything. Not only once. Yep. Okay, I'm going to close the public audience participation. And what's your pleasure? Do we want to break? Assemblymember Culligan wanted to make a comment.
Oh, absolutely. I'm all for everybody's freedom of speech, but I think a few people have crossed the line. And facts, 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 facts are interesting. Mr. Endel, just for disclosure, worked for me over 10 years ago. He has since then worked for MTA. We are not close friends. I didn't know he applied for this position until it was before the assembly in the packet. On the other hand, I know Brian's capabilities and his skills, and after listening to the accusations tonight, and the group that's brought him forward, and the quote that was made, if I don't tell them that, they aren't going to listen, reminds me of, we now have 5,000 new members. We stood outside the state fairgrounds, got signature, do you like clean water? But they're all new members of our group, and other things that come before us all the time. And honesty and integrity and all the other things you've quoted, what you said about me tonight, I would like to use some other superlatives, but they're outrageous and inflammatory and discredit yourselves as far as any comments you've made tonight to me. And, you know, it's tough to sit here and take public comments sometimes. People can say whatever the hell they want with no reaction, and I'm making a reaction.
Okay. It is. Let's break 10 minutes. We'll come back at 20 to 9. Okay, we are finally to our consent agenda, which is where we normally spend most of the evening. So everybody remember that. We've been a little bit on the lax side as far as restraining our comments and stuff. So, Madam Clerk, would you read what's left of the consent agenda, please?
Resolution Serial Number 13013, a resolution amending the budgets for project numbers 45102, 45104, 45250, and 45088, and approving the scope of work for project number 45102 to allow the West Lakes Fire Service Area to purchase backup and replacement generators. Resolution Serial Number 13022, a resolution approving the amended budget for additional stream bank restoration to ensure stream bank stability as recommended by the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, the United States Fish and Wildlife, and the Hidden Hills Fish Passage Project number 30113, resolution serial number 13024, a resolution in opposition to House Bill 27, the unreserved school operating fund balances. Resolution serial number 13026, a resolution supporting House Bill 98 relating to escapement thresholds and escapement goals for certain salmon stocks. Resolution serial number 13027, a resolution supporting House concurrent resolution number 1, the establishment and operation of a state food resource development working group. Resolution serial number 13028, a resolution supporting House Bill 18 to provide priority to personal use fisheries. Resolution serial number 13032, a resolution supporting the City of Palmer's 2014 capital improvement program. AM number 13026, awarded bid number 13062B to Pierce Manufacturing Incorporated in the amount of $766,255 for the purchase of a triple combination pumper tanker for the Wasilla Lakes Fire Service Area. AM number 13027, awarded bid number 13063B to Pierce Manufacturing Incorporated in the amount of $680,110 for a multipurpose response engine for the Wasilla Lakes Fire Service Area. AM number 13028, awarded bid number 13083B to Valley General Construction LLC in the contract amount of $169,928 for Lanark Drive Brockton Avenue upgrades. AM number 13029, awarded the final portion of request for proposal 13056P to Lounsbury and Associates Incorporated, and the amount of $537,360 for Caswell Lakes Road and Willow Lake Drive upgrades. And that is it, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Is there any objection to the consent agenda?
You want Darcy to move it?
Oh, please move it first, Mr. Salmon.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I move to adopt the consent agenda as read into the record by the clerk.
And is there objection? Hearing none. We've actually consented. So we move to resolution 13023.
A resolution supporting House Bill 79 and Senate Bill 28 establishing the Susitna State Forest.
Assemblymember Keogh, would you move that?
It was Assemblymember Woods who pulled that.
Oh, Woods, that's right. Sorry, I had W for Warren.
Yes, I'd like to speak to that. And
please move it first.
I move resolution serial number 13-023.
You may speak to it.
You know, the Constitution says that the policy of the Senate state is to encourage the settlement of its land and development of its resources, making them available for maximum use, consistent with public interest. And the location, when we do a state forest, it seems that it becomes a park and it's there forever and ever without any opportunity to do different uses except for maybe some trees and trails, et cetera. And I would like to move that if we approve this thing, we make an amendment to ask that it be it be changed to the west side of the Big Susitna River only, and that the east side of the Parks Highway be omitted from this particular
okay, House Bill 79. I will take that as an amendment, because there's no way to do that after it's passed. He said if it passes. So
I think he's wanting to add a whereas clause.
Yeah.
I think that's what he's wanting to do.
Do you have language? I think your intent was clear.
Let's see.
The way I heard it, I'll state your motion and you can correct me. Your intent was to remove from the Susitna Forest Bill everything east of the Big Susitna River.
Yes, I would request that they change to do that.
That's okay. There's an amendment on the floor. Who wants to speak to it? Is there objection to that?
Well, I'd like to speak for a second.
Okay, Assemblymember Halter.
I understand the mayor from Houston's concerns, and I think deleting some portion of the east side would be appropriate. But I think I've spent a lot of time listening to DNR, especially our local foresters, who are proposing this state forest, and I think some of the things that we think may happen are false. I think first of all, you'll have more forest land. You'll have better logging. I think the Poppert Mills, that size of person, Mark Stahl, who testified last time, will have more wood available quicker. The thing that the DNR is trying to do, first of all this forest area is within the Southeast Susitna area plan. It's designated as forest land. It's managed as forest land right now.
So are you speaking for or against the amendment?
I like the idea of Mayor of Houston pulling out some of that area right there in that Houston area, because you can see where their population's growing. They don't have a chance to go south anymore. They need some land for settlement. So I agree that we should work with DNR to get them land within that Houston area pulled out of there. I think all that forest area has been harvested at this point in time, or some of it's real close. There is a designated forest or research area that I probably would oppose being pulled out, because that's important. But to pull everything out in the east side, to say that it's going to be tied up or be part of a park is absolutely false. If you go to the experts, and the experts are DNR, I don't think that that's their idea. I think they think they're going to be able to manage the forest more appropriately. They're going to get more wood to these size mills and things like that. And in the Southeast Susitna plan too, there's laid out. There's farmland laid out. There's settlement areas laid out. It's very concise, and this doesn't affect that at all. And I think it actually would improve our forestry in our area, the Metsu Borough.
So
but I do agree with the city of Houston. I'd like to see some of that land pulled out for them for their future use, because they have a finite area there, and there's just too much of it right there for them.
This,
I agree with that.
Okay, so this motion as it stands would allow Houston to become the biggest city in the state.
Yeah. But
okay, to the amendment. Is there objection to the amendment?
Well, I'm going to oppose it because it's too broad.
Okay. So, Madam Clerk?
Mr.
Assemblymember Arvin?
Yeah, thank you. I'm going to speak in opposition to the amendment. Well, I am in opposition to the amendment. I guess I'll wait to speak to the motion as amended. Thank you.
Okay, I appreciate that. So, Madam Clerk, there is objection to the amendment. Please take the vote.
Assemblymember Arvin?
No.
Assemblymember Culver?
Yes.
Assemblymember Culligan?
Yes.
Assemblymember Woods?
Yes.
Assemblymember Halter?
No.
Assemblymember Keough?
No.
Assemblymember Salmon?
No.
Mr. Mayor, the amendment failed with Assemblymember Culver, Culligan, and Woods in support. There we go. Sorry.
I want to move another amendment now, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, Assemblymember Halter.
Within the Susitna Valley State Forest, I want to remove a portion of the Houston block within the city of Houston limits. from the state forest. That would be my recommendation for our resolution.
Yes.
Well, sorry, that doesn't
so it's
get
a little
them.
Bit more. It's the east side, Susitna Valley State Forest, the Houston block, it's called, and then within the city of Houston limits, which
okay.
would be, I think it looks to me like at least 12 or 15 sections.
Assembly requests a portion of
the motion is to remove a section of the Willow or the Houston block that is within the city limits of Houston.
Houston. City of Houston. From the Susitna Valley State Forest. That'd be
from,
our
from the State Forest, yes. Assemblymember Keel.
Just a point that I think we're procedurally scrunch-wise here. The motion that we have, again, like the last one, was to amend, as I understand it, a bill, a Senate bill and a House bill. So we're amending state legislation?
We're amending a resolution.
Amending the resolution that says we endorse the plan, accepting...
Except this part.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay, that's...
Except the Houston block within the city of Houston.
Okay, I understand. Okay, I understand that. That's not the way the motion was read, but I'm okay, I
that's
get it.
That's the way it was read.
I think the intent's clear. Is there Assemblymember Culligan?
Yeah, I would speak against it and the main motion. Again, I see evidence with the mayor of Houston being here that constituents really haven't been that well communicated with, and I think they need to do their due diligence and shop this around. I'm not in support of this at the moment. I may be someday, but I don't think the department or others have done the communication they need with the entities involved and the people that are affected, and I'd love to see this again over aerial photography so people can see what lands are really affected versus what lands are undevelopable and what other implications. But I know there's positive and negative things about this, but with the mayor of Houston being here, I it's just further evidence that they have started too late and not done their job, and I don't feel comfortable endorsing it to the legislature.
Assemblymember Culver.
I support the amendment in case this resolution passes that we would carve out an exception for Houston, but I'll speak to the main motion in a moment. I'm not in favor of it.
Okay, Assemblymember Solomon. Assemblymember Halter, could you turn your mic off,
oops,
please?
Sorry.
I want to parrot Mr. Culver's statement in its entirety.
Are we ready for the question? There is objection to the motion to amend the primary motion in order to take out that portion of the Susitna Forest within the Houston city limits. Madam Clerk.
Assemblymember Culver.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culligan.
Yes.
Assemblymember Woods.
Yes.
Assemblymember Halter.
Yes.
Assemblymember Keough.
Yes.
Assemblymember Solomon.
Yes.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, it passed unanimously.
Okay. Before us, the main motion as amended to support the legislation on the Susitna Forest.
Mr. Mayor.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Thank you. Everybody sitting at the table was involved in the same discussion about a year ago. And I just want to remind everybody that the Susitna Forest is managed under the Susitna Forest Guidelines, which is actually titled inappropriately because there's not a recognized state forest that those lands are contained within. The purpose of making a state forest is to allow the Division of Forestry and DNR to establish a management plan, which would entail a great level of discussion and interaction with the public, the communities, the community councils, the user groups, industry, recreation, tourism, and then write that plan up and present it for adoption. And the only way to actually codify how those lands will be used, whether they are for settlement or recreation or timber harvest or mining or access, is to actually have a bona fide plan put together. I think that there is speculation and some bit of maybe it's a little strong word, but a bit of fear-mongering going on, that the government is out trying to do yet another taking, when in fact it is the state of Alaska's land, but designating it as a forest allows them to implement protocols for land use, and I don't see why we wouldn't want to do that. I am in support of establishing a Susitna State Forest. You can look at the Tanana Forest, for example, and they identify multi-uses, areas of use, the annual allowable cut based on regeneration, and it's a healthy way to manage the land. So I'm in support of it, and I would encourage the other members to not fall prey to that this is yet another government taking and land control to prevent settlement and access to the land, because that's not at all what it is. In fact, it's quite the opposite. It allows the state to implement the tools such that the land can be used to the best use of the citizens. So I support it. Thank you.
Thank you, Assemblymember Woods.
Yes, we heard them come up about a year ago and talk on the state forest thing, and one of the things that impressed me was that among all the good things they wanted to do, there would be absolutely no private land allowed within this area. And for that reason, I oppose this. No, I oppose the borough taking favorable action for this. Our population estimates, as we progress with our port and rail track expansion, number in the thousands. And where some of those people would like to live a little further away from towns, and something they're not going to be able to do in Anchorage area because they're just two block now. And I would like to leave some area north along the Parks Highway on the east side available for people to buy land and house there. So thank you.
Anybody else? Assemblymember Colbert.
Mr. Mayor, I don't feel that this piece of legislation has been thoroughly vetted with enough public hearings and input from the communities affected. And I see this more as another layer of bureaucracy. And I'd rather keep it the property, the land, in multi-use managed by DNR. I haven't seen great success by subdivisions of the DNR. Like, they've created the Matanuska Moose Range. We call it the Matanuska Moose Abuse Range. They're not well managed. An agency has control over it, but there's not good active management. I think we need more information. I think Noel's right. We do need opportunity for our highway zones, for municipal selections, city selections, settlements. Yeah, some of the settlement lands are identified here, but rather than make the decision now that this all will be forest, I think it's a bit early in the evolution of our state lands. I would hope that we would vote this down and then turn right around and pass a motion in opposition so that they know where we stand on this, and with a finding that there hasn't been an adequate vetting of the process to develop this plan in the borough. Thank you.
Okay, but we don't need to talk it to death. I think, okay, if there's no objection, we'll vote. And there have been objections on the vote. So, Madam Clerk.
Assemblymember Culligan.
No.
Assemblymember Woods.
No.
Assemblymember Halter. Yes. Assemblymember Keough.
Yes.
Assemblymember Salmon.
No.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culver.
No.
Mr. Mayor, it failed with Assemblymember Halter, Keough, and Arvin in support.
Mr. Mayor, could I move to oppose Senate Bill 79 and of Senate Bill 28 and House Bill 79 establishing the Susitna State Forest.
Well, I guess I would rule that you just did.
Well, would we send down a resolution in the affirmative with a no vote, or would we just send the Assembly has voted to not support this legislation in a motion?
Well, first of all, we're in the middle of our consent agenda, and if we do take it up again, it would be later. But still, my opinion would be that we just voted it down. So,
Mr. Mayor, as a point of order.
Your point?
That is, if this would be the shape of a brand new resolution which require public notice, therefore that can't be taken up this meeting. If I'd recommend Assemblymember Culver, if he wants to bring such a resolution forward, have it to the clerk by Friday so it's properly noticed and we can vote next meeting.
Okay. Point taken. You want to speak to it, Madam Clerk? No?
What would you want me to talk about?
Well, I want to know if it's necessary to take this up in order to show disapproval, and second of all, if it's appropriate without prior notice.
I think a number of things could happen, Mr. Mayor. One of the things I could do is definitely send the failed resolution to the lobbyists to let them know. I could do that. I think a motion could pass under comments, but it couldn't have any resolutions or anything else attached to it. Another option is to actually make a resolution for the next meeting stating the reasons why you would be opposed to it, and then we could send it at that point.
Okay, moving on. Resolution 13-025.
A resolution supporting House Bill 23 and the Kinnickarm Bridge and Toll Authority.
Okay, Assemblymember Keough, you get to show your support for this motion by moving it.
You think so? I move resolution serial number 13-025, is it? Serial number 13-025, and I'd like to speak to it, please.
You may.
In your packets, I shared an update analysis by Mr. Jamie Kenworthy and Mr. Bob French, written just a few days ago. It's in your packet. It's titled The Real Cost of the Kinnickarm Bridge, $2.6 billion plus unknown more dollars. I'd just like to read very quickly three or four bullets from this, I will say that I'm going to oppose this resolution. First, a few bullets and then a comment.
Please be brief. Assembly member, because we've all read that.
Have we? I'd just like to reiterate a couple of small points. The Kinnickarm Bridge and Toll Authority was turned down for a $500 million low-cost federal loan, leaving a $500 million hole in the latest 2012 financial plan. Cost estimates are $35 million higher for the bridge and the approach costs. Kubota's current proposal includes a six-lane cut-and-cover tunnel under Government Hill, and the 2007 itemized cost item was for a two-lane tunnel. Kubota has not provided an itemized complete cost estimate since 2007. And lastly, these bills should not even be considered until the results of an audit are in and the full range of possible costs of the state are known. So we passed this unanimously, so our action here is redundant. In our state legislative priorities that we put together in November, we endorsed this project. So now here we are with another resolution doing the same thing. We did the same thing last year. This is, in my opinion, a waste of time and an unnecessary exercise. And further, I think there's a growing awareness out there that this project has many financial flaws. So, therefore, I pulled it from the consent agenda, and I'll vote against it for its because I'm increasingly suspicious of the veracity of the project, and two, this is a redundant effort on our part. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Assemblymember Solomon.
Yeah, primarily to speak to the sources that Mr. Keough quotes. Mr. Kenworthy and Mr. French have been on record in opposition to the project before any numbers were even spoken. They are the same group of people that are in opposition to our rail spur and basically in opposition to any infrastructure development whatsoever in South Central Alaska that may have something to do with the Cook Inlet. Therefore, I think that their opinions in particular are more biased by far than the current new yearly statement that just came out from Kibata with letters of support from the governor, from Mayor DeVilbiss, from Mayor Sullivan, from Mayor Thompson, and every major infrastructure-oriented business in the entire valley and the state at whole. So I take issue with his quote of sources. A redundancy needs to, as Mr. Keogh well knows, he's the one to speak that brings before us over and over and over thing after thing after thing, beating it to death, beating the drum, and we vote on it every single time. I don't see how this is any different. We do support the Kinnick Arm Bridge and its importance to the overall economic development of the entire South Central Alaska, and I think the sources I quoted in support are far greater than the two that he quoted that are in opposition to it. Thank you.
Yeah, and you forgot all the mayors of the state that supported it, too, at AML. Assemblymember Colligan.
I just want to state, I've known Jamie Kenworthy for a number of years and worked with him. He's a very talented and detail-oriented person, and I commend him for his research. And unfortunately, I'm going to vote for the resolution, but I do appreciate him spending his time and you know, analyzing that externally. But a lot of it's based on if this was the last dollar we had to spend, would it be the best investment? Well, this isn't looked at as the last dollar we're going to spend on transportation and what the development is on the other side and the benefit to the public. There are plenty of concerns in Anchorage about taking resources away from other road improvements there. There's lots of opposition by Mr. French of people that live on Government Hill. Although I respect Mr. Kenworthy, I disagree with him on some of this one, and I'm glad that he's at least asking the questions, but I will be voting in support of the resolution.
Okay. There's no further speeches.
Mr. Mayor.
Assemblymember Arvin, I forgot to look at you.
Just very quickly, there are a lot of benefits for the bridge being constructed. One of the most important is the Parks Highway is going to have to be widened given current projections of growth. Those are public dollars that will go after that project to the tune of $1 billion, it's been stated. The Kinnick Arm Bridge is being funded by private money. Save the backstop question that's in front of the legislature this session, which is, by the way, a reserve fund that equates to a loan. So when you talk about not building a bridge, you're going to put a tremendous amount of financial resources at the Parks Highway, which will dilute resources that are available to other projects that need to happen not only in the borough, but South Central and throughout the state. So I think it's a good project, and I support the resolution. Thank you.
Is there objection to closing debate? There is objection to the motion on the floor, so Madam Clerk, please vote.
Assemblymember Woods.
Yes.
Assemblymember Halter. Assemblymember Keogh.
No.
Assemblymember Salmon.
Yes.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culver.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culligan.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, it passed with Assemblymember Keogh opposed.
Thank you. It would look kind of funny if it didn't pass tonight since it's on our priority list. Resolution 13029.
A resolution to support the Alaska Moose Federation's request for state funding.
Assemblymember Keogh.
Mr. Mayor.
Woods, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Mr. Mayor, I need to, I think, talked earlier about declaring conflict of interest.
I will accept that.
I've held a note for these folks for a while, and they finally started paying back last year.
You are recused. Assemblymember Woods.
I move resolution serial number 12-029.
Do you want to speak to it?
I do. I'm not. They have recently received over $1 million, and I think that should carry them for a while, so I'll vote against this.
Okay. Assemblymember Keel.
This is on page 305 of the packet, and there's the resolution is to endorse the Moose Federation's request, and I appreciate the comments of Mayor Thompson from Houston speaking to the value of the program, but there's mention made of vehicle traffic and accidents, but there's no item that contains a resolution by the Moose Federation, how many dollars they're asking for, or so this is, there's no information on the informational memo, so I'm going to vote against this, no matter, I mean, it sounds like a very worthy project. I take Mr. Wood's comment in mind, too. They have been the recipient of generous funding here recently, so I'm going to vote against this as well.
Okay, are we ready for the question? Madam Clerk, would you call the roll?
Assemblymember Halter. Assemblymember Keough.
No.
Assemblymember Salmon.
Yes.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culver.
No.
Assemblymember Woods.
No.
Mr. Mayor, we do have a tie vote.
Well, okay, I will vote yes.
Mr. Mayor, the vote it does carry with your vote as a yes. And we could call Assemblymember Culligan back in the room if he can hear us.
Assemblymember Culligan? There he comes. Okay. Moving now to Resolution 13030.
A resolution supporting House Bill 4, empowering the Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation, AGDC, to connect Alaskans with the Alaska Gas via an in-state gas line project and a larger diameter gas line project for export.
There is a title change. Does that need to be amended?
It would need to be amended,
Assemblymember Culver can do that then.
I move to amend the title on Resolution 13-030 to read, a resolution of the Matanuska-Susitna Borough Assembly supporting a gas line project from the North Slope that provides for a large diameter pipeline to Fairbanks with export capacity and is designed for smaller feeder gas lines to serve Alaskan communities developed by the Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation.
Okay.
The title then, Mr. Mayor, would more accurately reflect the body of the resolution.
Okay. Is there further discussion? So this motion will carry the entire resolution, Madam Clerk?
It would carry by entire resolution?
Yes. Are we voting right now on just changing the language
of
the title?
Oh, got you. I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor. It would just change the title of the resolution, and I am basically is what it would do.
And then we would vote on the resolution?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
So is there any objection to changing the language? Okay, there's none. So we have before us the new language and the original resolution as submitted. Discussion? Assemblymember Colbert.
One of the serious flaws in House Bill 4, the ASAP proposal, is the project doesn't have gas liquids flowing thereby, and the terminus was planned to be at Point McKenzie. But I think it's in the borough's long-term interest to encourage, if those liquids are going to go that route, if the gas pipeline is going to go that route, the liquids will be important for port area industrial development, rather than just the short term, get gas as quick as we can down south to Fairbanks. And then the other factor is it really economical to only run a small diameter pipeline the length of Alaska without going at least large diameter to Fairbanks? So that's a couple of issues covered in this, the body of this resolution.
Okay. I don't see any further discussions.
Yeah, just a second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Assemblymember Halter.
So, Mr. Colbert, or whoever can answer this, what are the routes? Is there really routes designated at all? Are we just guessing what the route's going to be, or?
Through the chair, the ASAP pipeline is roughly the TAPS pipeline until it gets close to Fairbanks, and then it goes around the federal land to avoid a lengthy permitting process. I think they call it the Minto Flats. And then with a spur line over to Fairbanks, and then down the Parks Highway to Point McKenzie. That's the ASAP pipeline. They're asking for $400 million to get it to the next stage of the process, what they call the open season, doing all the permitting and the engineering required to develop a good cost estimate. And so that's what they're kind of asking for, a number of things regulatorily, and then that's a route that they've currently got identified, yes.
Does this resolution address whether it'll be a common carrier or a contract carrier?
I think that's one of the issues that some people have with House Bill 4, that it's a contract carrier rather than a common carrier. And I think our position here is we kind of want the common carrier, at least the Fairbanks, but you know, I think there are some issues we would probably have with all the specifics of the House Bill 4 as it relates to how it would affect development and the access for other vendors. There is a prohibition of 500 million cubic feet, the half that's restricted by the ACES legislation, that any other project can exceed 0.5 billion cubic feet capacity. And so that's what they've designed around. It could be pressurized to carry more, but that is why they're doing a smaller pipe. And, of course, it's real important to Fairbanks because they have such high cost of energy. But, you know, when you look at the whole economics of the whole project, is it really going to pay off to the end users to send our gas through a smaller pipe and then pay a higher tariff? And how does that liquids play into our future as far as a borough? There's a lot of questions out there. So this kind of a little bit of both, serve our Alaskans, but work on a bigger diameter pipeline, at least to Fairbanks.
Okay. Assemblymember Halter, is your red light on?
No. I guess I do. Maybe this is for the borough attorney, or can they legally do a 48-inch pipe below Fairbanks?
Unfortunately, I don't know the answer off the top of my head. This legislation, the gas pipeline proposals, always seem to be changing, and I can't keep it all straight. We actually met with Larry Pursley, who's the federal coordinator, when we were in D.C., last year. We didn't go meet with him this time because we didn't see much going on. I can look into it and get back to you. I could probably look right now.
Actually, I asked that question to the guy that's in charge. Is it Pursley or that's in charge of it? It is permitted for the bullet line. And so if it moves to 36 or 48, it would have to be amended. But that's, I believe, outside the purview of this resolution. So is there objection to this resolution? I don't hear any, so we are overwhelmingly supporting it. Somebody laugh. It is a pretty complex issue. So moving on at the speed of light here, through our consent agenda, Resolution 13031.
A resolution directing the borough manager to solicit proposals for financial advisors to serve as budget analysts for the assembly.
Assemblymember Woods, I believe you pulled that. Do you want to speak to it?
I would recommend that we approve it.
Well, if you hadn't pulled it, it would be approved. Okay. Oh, now everything cuts loose. Okay. So, Assemblymember Keough.
Well, reading on the page 1 of 2 of the resolution, mid-page, now therefore it be resolved that assembly members representing districts 4, 6, and 3 will review the budget analyst service proposals and make a recommendation to the manager and assembly for award. I'm not sure why assembly members from districts 1, 2, 5, and 7 got left out, so I move to amend this resolution to strike item 2 and insert a new amendment that states any assembly member can review the budget analyst service proposals and make a recommendation to the manager and assembly for award.
Okay, is that understood? Is there objection to that? Okay, a point of order.
We wouldn't want to have an open meeting violation. We wouldn't meet in a committee, but we could individually make a proposal review and submit a score sheet to the manager and handle it that way, I think, maybe through the attorney.
I think the amendment would probably take care of it for anybody that wanted to be involved. So, is there no objection? No objection. So, before us, the main motion as amended.
I've got an amendment, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, Assemblymember Arvin.
I'd like to add an additional whereas. Whereas the budget analyst will have unrestricted access to the finance director and the finance department staff, other department heads and staff, and access to all historical budgets and all proposed department budgets.
Okay. Anybody want to speak to that? Is there objection? Hearing none, that amendment passes. Assemblymember Culver, you had your hand up.
Yeah, on a number 6 bullet to add as an amendment under the therefore be it resolved. Number 6 would read, the budget analyst will be provided with any and all financial information requested.
That's a
feel-good talk about. Therefore is a direction.
Okay. Can you repeat that, Madam Clerk, just so?
The budget analyst will be provided with any and all financial information requested.
Okay, that would have taken care of the last one. Is there objection to that? Hearing none. Main motion again has amended. Is there objection? Hearing none, it passes. Resolution 13-035.
A resolution in support of House Bill 19 to offer a permanent vehicle registration and tax relief of vehicles at least 8 years old.
Okay, Assemblymember Woods.
To that.
You may.
I believe the financial disadvantage to the borough would be a loss of some $2 million after 2006 when this becomes applicable.
2016, you mean?
Yes, thank you for the correction.
Okay. And that's assuming we didn't use our taxing powers to collect that off of the first 8 years. Anybody else wish to speak? Assemblymember Colbert.
Through the mayor, is that a correct fiscal analysis? Or do we have that kind of data?
Actually, the Alaska Municipal League was given figures that actually raised it the first year or two, because everybody's extra people are registering.
Okay, well, I'm going to speak in favor of it because a lot of these older vehicles are farm vehicles laying around, are snow plows that aren't very rarely used, trucks to take stuff to the landfill. The newer vehicles, to have the older vehicles pay the same tax as the newer vehicles doesn't seem fair. And a permanent license seems like a good idea. So I think there's a couple of good things in here. Maybe capping it 8 years, a person doesn't pay the same amount of tax. I think there's some value. I'm going to support it. I think it's a well-thought-out piece of legislation. Yeah, I think municipalities got to be careful which cash cow they pick to, operate on. But older vehicles probably ought not to be taxed the same as the newer vehicles, and they didn't used to be. But since these laws have changed and the borough got rid of its private aircraft tax that it had, and they went to this, this is what, you end up with. So, thank you.
Okay, Assemblymember Keogh.
A short comment. I'm going to join Assemblymember Woods in opposing this resolution. As in the last couple of years, as we've spent down our reserves, our budget has gotten tighter. The fact that we'll be supporting something that we're going to have a net loss of revenue that may exceed $2 million per year beginning in a couple of years is, I'm going to vote no.
Assemblymember Solomon.
I think I might have a conflict of interest in this vote because I don't own anything that's newer than 8 years old.
Well, you're not the only one, but I think the attorney would tell you that your interest is common with a lot of the public. We're very common. Okay, I've heard varied opinions, so Madam Clerk, would you find out what our pleasure is? Oh, Assemblymember Arvin? No? Okay.
Assemblymember Culligan.
Yes.
Assemblymember Woods.
No.
Assemblymember Halter. No. Assemblymember Keogh.
No.
Assemblymember Solomon.
Yes.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yes.
Assemblymember Culver.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, it passed with Assemblymember Woods, Halter, and Keogh opposed.
Okay, now we know how old people's vehicles are. And our manager will have a better time in our representative's office Thursday. That brings us to the end of the consent agenda, believe it or not. So we're ready to introductions.
Introduction for public hearing on March 5th is Resolution Serial Number 13-33, Ordinance Serial Number 13, I thought they were the same, but they're Resolution and Ordinance. Ordinance Serial Number 13-033 with accompanying Resolution 13-034, Ordinance 13-034, and Ordinance 13-032 for public hearing on April 2nd, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, and you're not going to do the one for 413?
I did, for 13032.
Oh.
I happened to say it before that date. I apologize.
Oh, okay.
So I did it a little out of order.
Yeah. So, introductions. Assemblymember Salmon.
Mr. Mayor, I move to introduce the legislation as read into the record by the clerk and set the public hearings for March 5th, 2013 and April 2nd, 2013. Respectively.
Thank you. Is there objection? Hearing none. It's time for the vacancy report. Assemblymember Solomon.
Mr. Mayor, I move to approve the mayor's recommendations for confirmation this evening as follows. Aviation Advisory Board, Chris Kepler. Enhanced 9/11 Advisory Board, Dennis Brodigan. Local Emergency Planning Committee, Donald Warble and Ken Slauson. MSB Fish and Wildlife Commission, Bruce Knowles, Larry Engel, Planning Commission, Brian Endel. Plating Board, resignation of Kurt McKenzie and appointment of Diana Sorensen. Port Commission, Greg Bell. Wastewater and Septage Advisory Board, Archie Giddings. And Circle View and Stampede Estates Flood and Water Erosion Control, Patty Hunsman.
Thank you. Is there objection? Assemblymember Keough.
I move to amend the Board and Commission Assembly confirmation nominees by striking the name of Brian Endel, and I'd like to speak to that, please.
Can you do it that way?
You can. We did it the last time.
You may speak to it. The motion on the floor is to strike Brian Endel.
In the past 2 weeks, and particularly the last couple of days, I've received, and I think everyone on the assembly and has received, a pretty copious amount of emails regarding the advocacy of Barbara Hunt or Helga Larson and some displeasure or discomfort with the possibility that Mr. Endel would be the next planning commissioner for District 1. In addition to the testimony this evening, which was the majority of folks spoke in favor of others than Mr. Endel, this seat has been vacant for some time. Barbara Hunt submitted an application in November for this forthcoming planning commission seat, knowing that Mr. Foster was not going to pursue a second term. Helga Larson, Barbara Hunt is a former planning commissioner and has background in professional planning. Helga Larson, due to a boundary district change, she was on the platting board until very recently. She wanted to serve another term. She likewise has been a past planning commissioner, but due to boundary changes, she finds herself in District 1 rather than District 2. So she's interested in the position. Also, Mark Van Deest applied in January, as did Brian Endel. With all respect to Mr. Endel, after talking to some of these candidates and reviewing their applications and their resumes, I consider Mr. Endel to be the least qualified of the four applicants, and I would recommend, as the assembly member from District 1, that by striking his name, he would move back to the applicants column, the first column, and it would give the mayor an opportunity to pick an alternate nominee.
Okay, well, I'm going to stick up for my man. And Assemblymember Solomon, you can turn off your red light so everybody can hear. I did not make this decision lightly, and I did a couple of things a little out of the ordinary. Normally, I interview everybody, and normally on a planning commission appointment, I confer with the assembly person. In this case, this is my home district. This is I know every single one of these people and the dynamics involved in this appointment, and I knew that interviewing none of them would change. I certainly don't disagree that Ms. Hunt is qualified, perhaps the most qualified. But mayoral appointments aren't just about qualifications. They're about values that align with the mayor. And I've got to tell you, when I came to this assembly or this position, the most contentious segment of the borough was the Buffalo Mine Community Council area. They were coming towards the end of a comprehensive planning process that had involved a small group of people in a fairly large community. And it was pretty radical and singly focused towards shutting down mining, to the point that they wanted to rename Buffalo Mine Road. And towards the end of that process, Mr. Engel got involved. He did what should be done. Instead of shouting and screaming and trying to disrupt the body, he went door to door and got the community involved. And I don't think there's another community in this borough right now that has over 100 people attending their community council meetings. And if that was all based on lies, those people would not still be coming to those community council meetings. I've been to the better part of those long, contentious, and very well attended meetings. And the votes on those community council meetings are normally about 70 or 80 to 20. And assembly members, you've been hearing from the 20 or so people that got bent sideways because their comprehensive plan got stopped. I admire Mr. Endel for taking leadership. I admire him for actually stepping out after he actually stepped off the board recently because he thought his family and job issues were a higher priority right then. I think Mr. Endel has a lot of potential. He's a young man that would learn a lot on the planning board, and I identify with him because I was a very unqualified farmer that got appointed to that position probably 20 years ago and got my teeth cut on borough business. So I respectfully ask you to support my appointment, and that's it. Assemblymember Culligan.
I wanted to make a comment after tonight's testimony and the like. I find it really interesting the people that accuse Mr. Endel of personal attacks and other stuff when testimony granted was personal attacks. Mr. Endel worked for me some many years ago and has held a position at MTA as a senior level programmer and analyst, and I just feel that, like, I see Mr. Adams in the crowd, people, engineers and analysts have the technical skills, and I can vouch for his programming and analytical skills and his process and methodology, and can appreciate the facts of those type of individuals that are detail oriented and analyzing and understanding the process. With that, I would also ask support of Mr. Endel, and yeah, he's not the politician or other things, but I think he has the core skill set, and sometimes not being overly experienced is sometimes a good thing. And after tonight's action, I just shouting that out at the moment. Thank you.
Assemblymember Halter.
Well, I'll support your candidate, but you know, I guess I voted against John Clapperidge several times in the planning, you know, for the planning commission. I think he's turned out to be a good commissioner. Kind of caught me by surprise. But I will say this: I really like the idea of diversity. It just seems like for some reason women are they're just not represented on the planning commission and some of the other key areas. And I'd like to see us go there. Won't push you in this position, but I think we need to increase our diversity and representation in that area. I was a planning commissioner under Helga Larson. She's probably one of the best ever. I don't know this Barbara Hunter or anything like that, but I think it's high time we go that direction sometime. Please.
I will totally take that to heart. And like I said, I have nothing against Barbara Hunt. She's a neighbor. She's a friend. And the same for Helga Larson. She's done us very well. But I look at alignment of values. And if you will, we just approved Ms. Sorensen on the planning board. If you'll look at my appointments coming forward next week, it's almost 2-1 for women. So there's plenty of women on my boards. Assemblymember Keogh. I'm sorry, we have Mr. Arvin was actually first of all.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I guess after listening to the public testimony tonight, I'm just wondering why anybody would really want to serve, given that, given what was said, I think it's kind of a sad situation. And I largely see it as desperation by those that are anti-coal and pro, pro-planning, pro-delay, pro-stop, pro-preservationist, and it's just sad that that had to be reduced to character assassination, innuendo, speculation, and I think really it just comes down to desperation. I'm going to support your candidate, and I'm disheartened today more than I think I have been. I've been subjected to some of the same harsh, unfounded criticisms, and I think it's a sad testament that an individual would put their application in for an appointment and have to be subjected to what Mr. Endel was subjected to tonight. So I support your nomination.
Thank you. Assemblymember Solomon.
Well, having been in the same position you are, sir, and having had my planning commissioners rejected by an assembly for no good cause and capitulating and making the recommendations that my assembly brought to me, I can only tell you that it was the biggest mistake of my tenure as the mayor. I should have fought for my people. I should have held on, because the Planning Commission from that point forward went in direct opposition to the agenda which my administration had set forward. And I agree with you, sir, that the vetting process is for the mayor to choose those that are in line with his agenda and the agenda that the people of this borough set forward when they elected you to that position, sir. It's good of you to consult your assembly members to see what they think, but in the bottom line and final analysis, it is your choice. I respect that choice, and I support your choice 100%. Thank you.
So do we want to start the second time, Assemblymember Keogh?
Well, I was only going to speak once, but I'm moved to speak once again. And yes, as a courtesy, I would hope in the future that the mayor on a position of this importance, which is a commissioner on the planning commissioner, which in my view is probably our single most important commission, would have the courtesy to approach the whatever assembly might a member it might be whose potential commissioner whatever district that he might represent. So, and I have to take exception with the mayor's some of the comments referring to the group of people that testified here tonight and other people I don't even know who they are, of this dozen or so letters and emails that I received to suggest that these folks are quote radical unquote or singularly focused is a mischaracterization of and an accurate mischaracterization of these folks that spend their spent considerable time making their statements known. And I further disagree with the suggestion that these are acts of desperation. These are citizens that have come forward with real concerns about who might represent them on the Planning Commission. So though I may be the sole dissenting vote, I can't in good conscience vote for the least qualified of the four applicants available for the District 1 Planning Commission seat. Thank you.
Okay, I think we've said enough. Madam Clerk, would you take the vote?
Assemblymember Woods.
Yes.
The motion on the floor is to strike Brian Endel from the Planning Commission 1 seat.
Thank you for clarifying.
Assemblymember Woods.
No.
Assemblymember Halter. Assemblymember Keogh.
Yes.
Assemblymember Solomon.
No.
Assemblymember Arvin.
No.
Assemblymember Culver.
No.
Assemblymember Culligan.
No.
Mr. Mayor, it failed with Assemblymember Keogh in support.
Okay, we have before us the remainder of the vacancy report. Is there objection? Hearing none, it passes. Thank you. And we move to comments. We'll start with the attorney. Any additions?
No.
And Mr. Manager?
Yes, I have two things. I think probably many of you have been getting support letters for the Big Lake Elementary School roofing project. That was not in the bond project. However, our finance director, Tammy Clayton, has got a bond council report and sent it to the state where the additional leftover funds from the 2011 roofing bond, if approved by the state, will give us funding to go ahead and take care of that school, and that's her intention. So good work by Tammy moving that forward. We're just waiting on the state. So if you continue to get letters, emails, you can tell them that we're waiting on the state to get the funding for that specific project. Secondly,
could you answer one question? What about Colony?
Yes, Colony is also included.
Okay.
Any other schools you want to add?
No, well,
we got two more on the list.
Colony was screaming before Big Lake, but it could be Big Lake's problem is more.
Okay. We can probably do them together. The second item that we have is on November 8th, based upon the voting for the optional senior disabled veteran exemptions. We sounded applications, and we need new applications. So far, we have of senior citizen accounts, we have 4,323, and disabled veterans at 884 for a total of 5,200 accounts. We have received 3,100 of those to date, and we're going to be sending out the assessment notices on February 28th. So we approximately have about 2,000 who have not sent in their application. We need it. That will not be on the assessment notice that goes out. However, it's not too late, and we are sending letters out this week, a second letter, to make sure they know the rules, and we'll send in the application. So if you have any questions about that, it's not too late for them to claim that $20,000 exemption. That's all I have.
Thank you. Huh? 65. But, you know, some of those people may not need it. Madam Clerk?
I have nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Assemblymember Solomon.
Well, Lonnie mistakes. She does have something that she probably doesn't want to share, but I will. She is a proud new grandmother of a beautiful little girl. Is that correct?
That is correct. Thank you.
I share that because I am a proud new grandfather as of Valentine's Day with my first grandchild, a boy. And as you know, my last name is Salmon. Well, his name is Kingston. I wonder what he'll be called. In a land where we're short on king salmon, I'm going to breed them. So thank you very much.
Assemblymember Colbert.
I have nothing to follow that one up with.
Assemblymember Keogh.
Well, first, I feel badly that Lonnie McKechnie, the clerk, and Assemblymember Salmon are rubbing it in about their new grandchildren, because I have three adult sons. I'm almost 65 years old. I have no grandchildren. I got nothing going on. So I'm envious. But the only other thing I had to say is that I have I'm going to request that the attorney seek an independent opinion in regard to Borough Code 2.12.040 regarding vacancies on the assembly. And I'll read it here to you. Item D, an assembly seat is declared vacant under the following conditions and upon a declaration of a vacancy by the assembly. Number two, unless excused by the assembly, is physically absent for 90 consecutive days. So, let me read it again. The assembly shall declare an elective, I'm sorry, I had it right the first time. basically, if an assembly member is not physically present for 90 days, the assembly is duty-bound to declare the seat vacant. So this is in regard to assembly member Arvin, who has not attended an assembly meeting physically, as it states in the code, since September 24th. So September, October, November, December, January, we're now past the middle of February. So I would ask that the attorney seek an opinion on the application of this part of the code to assembly members not physically present for this length of time.
With that comment, I'm going to ask Assemblymember Solomon to extend the meeting. It's a 5 till deadline.
Then, Mr. Mayor, I move to extend the meeting till 10:15, sir.
Okay. Is there objection? Hearing none. Assemblymember Culligan.
It's interesting, Mr. Keogh. I would, I guess, in that response to that, ask the attorney to give us a written opinion piece on whether you need to live in your district that you represent or not, as far as residency, both when filing and when serving, because I believe you live in Palmer but represent District 1 and lived in a condominium in Anchorage when running for office. And if we could get that before the next election, I'd appreciate that as well. Beyond that, we made a trip to D.C. to deal with several important items to the borough, and have to say this is probably the worst I've seen the federal government in any years. And we had very many positive accolades on the work that the borough has done, fish passages and other stuff. Many departments would like to rub it in your face that it's all formula-based this time, and you have to bite your tongue and not ask them if that's based on population or acreage, because by acreage they're slum landlords. But the reality is I federal funding this year is going to be slim, and I think we'll be should be focusing on that and working on our state legislation. But it was an interesting trip, and focus on the projects we have on the books. I would ask in the future that, Mr. Mayor, if there's some way to curb or control the out-of-control public opinion. I know this isn't a debate, but I'm very offended by some of the out-of-control accusations and other stuff from the public. And it's just beyond me. But anyway, if somebody shoves, plan on shoving back. Thank you.
Assemblymember Halter.
Well, I guess I'll pass after that, but I don't know if that was needed. But in all you folks that came in and testified, Mr. Endel, the back and forth there, I know I'm up in Willow, and there's kind of a community divide up there, too, of different groups and different sanctions. I wish we could get beyond that a little bit, but I do appreciate you all coming and saying your piece. And I think that's important. And, Mr. Endel, I'm glad you got appointed tonight. And I hope you're a good commissioner. So.
And Assemblymember Halter, we did kind of smooth things out there after quite a while. Assemblymember Woods.
As an assemblyman, I'm really pleased with the attitude that we've taken as a group here to promote some development so that we have other people to help pay the taxes around here. So other than that, why, good night.
Thank you. My deputy mayor.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just have one comment back to the She's Sitting in the Forest designation. I'm not sure if that's going to come back again or not, but presuming that it does, I just encourage the members to really understand that the reason there has not been a good, at the quote Mr. Culver, not been a good active management is because there's not a management plan.
they're operating under Susitna Forest guidelines, which are largely subjective and not easily managed. And with having a Susitna Forest, it compels a forest management plan to be drafted and implemented and vetted. And I think that that would allow those lands to be better managed. So presuming it comes back, I don't know if it will. I don't intend to bring it back, but if it does, there was discussion earlier that somebody might do that. I think it'd be important to really come to terms with the tools that would be able to be accessed by DNR and Division of Forestry to be able to best manage those lands. And with that, I will close my comments. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And I'm going to predict that before this session is over, which it doesn't end until next year, this probably will have a lot more local support. I'll give the Forestry Department credit. They have been out beating the bushes. I don't know why they never got to Houston, but they made a big mistake there. And I'm sure they'll get the message. I am going to be speaking with the attorney to try to find the line. I've pretty much been educated that as elected officials, we've got to sit here and pretty much take it. Just about anything anybody wants to say. But I do think that when it involves people that are not elected officials, there's got to be a line where we can say it's enough. Because it's one thing to talk about issues and facts, but I do think that we crossed the line a time or two. And with that, I'm going to adjourn and get the mayor's minute recorded for the public record. And if there's no objection, we will adjourn.